Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jones.
And I'm Parker, back.
Now,
in the habit.
I know that we're way behind the curve on this, but it's time to discuss Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Which is a movie containing porgs.
If we did it any sooner, we had to have a spoiler warning, right?
Yeah, but now we can spoil everything. So if you haven't seen the movie, you should not listen to this podcast. Turn back now. Okay, so Jones, you're a big Star Wars fan, right?
That's becoming more and more debatable with each movie.
Well, but, I thought we'd just quickly set up our positions.
Traditionally, yes.
And you're a prequel apologist.
Yes. All of them are better than this movie. There, I said it.
Oh, I'd agree. Parker.
I wouldn't agree with that, but close.
So what kind of a Star Wars fan are you, Parker?
Enough of a Star Wars fan where I run a engineering podcast, and we have talked about the engineering of Star Wars on it.
Yes.
Very large Star Wars fan.
Well, there are a lot of engineering questions with The Last Jedi, so we'll have to bring that up.
What is your position, Ben?
I'm just a random fan. You know, I go to the movies. I like Star Trek better.
What? Blasphemy.
Well, nowadays, I would agree with that. The new Star Trek is much better than the new Star Wars.
I guarantee I'm going to bring up Star Trek VI. You've seen Star Trek VI, right, Jones?
Yeah, that's one of my favorites of the old movies. Yeah,
So I'm sure we're going to bring that up. But I went to all the prequels, and I only remember being completely bored by what was the first one? The Phantom
Menace. Phantom Menace was the first one. Yeah.
I mean, I remember leaving Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith satisfied. I mean, yeah.
Nice.
And I thought Force Awakens, I mean, I liked it. I think it kind of falls apart once Harrison Ford shows up.
I think Force Awakens is a better Star Wars movie than this new movie, which, granted, it's just a remake of A New Hope, but, you know, I just thought it was a better Star Wars movie than this new thing, whatever it is.
And then you both really like Rogue One.
Yes, which you don't. Right.
I don't. I did rewatch it 2 days ago, like I threatened to.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. And so I would say, I still think the first two-thirds of that movie is completely boring. But the end of it is Star Wars.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like a 30-minute star fight, basically.
Yeah. Ground troops. Because that's all they really had was the end of the movie, and the rest of it's just a bunch of filler to get them to that point.
Well, it's got the cross action, you know, where there's the people down on the planet. You know, they've got their own shit they're going through. You've got the space battle going on. You know,
You can compare that movie to Titanic because you know what's going to happen. Is in Rogue One, you know they're going to get the plans.
Right,
because we already seen episode 4, so you know, yes. Titanic is going to sink by the end. So the rest of the beginning of the movie is just bullshit to get to the good shit.
Well, I would say Titanic is a much better film than Rogue One. For one,
I would agree with that. Actually, Titanic's an excellent movie. So
Titanic is not a movie about a sinking ship. It's about a love affair and a woman's awakening.
Yeah, and the ship happens to sink in it.
Awakening within her.
yeah. Except her character in Titanic was actually a character, unlike Rey.
That's the one thing, at least in That's Rogue true. One, they give Jin's character some backstory. You get way more development of her character than you do of the new central character in Star Wars. I mean, we still really don't know jack shit about her, where Jin, at least you saw her, you know, when she was a kid, saw the stuff happen with her, you know, dad and her mom getting killed in front of her. And
sure,
you know,
a lot of characters in Star Wars named Jin.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes you
at least two.
That's at least zero. So then, when the new movie came out, The Last Jedi, which continues the story from The Force Awakens, and so when did I watch it? I watched 3 days after it came out or something.
I think it was on the Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I watched it on Sunday as well.
I sat there and I'm like, I don't understand why everyone hates this. I was really enjoying it, right? Until it got to the third act.
Yeah.
It's
like the inverse of Rogue One for me.
I think it's a good movie that's got really terrible parts in it.
A good
movie shouldn't have terrible parts in it, though.
It has, like, good moments, but then there's a lot of stupid sprinkled all over the place. That's kind of my impression of it.
Like, what is the most terrible part in Raiders of the Lost Ark? Trying to think of something in that movie that's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's because it's a great movie. It doesn't have shit in it.
Snake coming out of, like, the mummy's mouth, which is kind of stupid. Because how would it do that? Is it crawling through the neck bone?
Yeah. But it's...
I completely forgot about that part.
Yeah.
And it's also like 3 seconds.
My thing is, I knew there was something wrong with Last Jedi in like the first 2 minutes.
Why? Because of the lightsaber thing?
No, the scene with Hux when Poe like calls the ship. And it's
God, yeah.
Like, the tonally, that humor was just so wrong.
Doesn't he even say your mama?
Yeah, he says something about his mom. Like, he makes a comment about his mom. I'm just like, what the fuck movie am I watching?
Like, it's like they took a Mel Brooks Nazi caricature, and then they want you to actually think it's a real Nazi.
Yeah.
It's like, there's nothing threatening about that character. He's just, he doesn't even, you know, he doesn't even seem real. The character sucks. Like in Force Awakens, he overacts so badly you can't take him seriously. And in this one, he's just like a whiny punchline, basically.
Yeah, but it was just like the whole like attempt at humor in that scene. Like it felt so wrong for a Star Wars movie. Like, you know, and maybe I've got my own preconceptions of what Star Wars is, but I mean, let's face it, we've had like fucking what, 9. These movies now. I mean, it's like there's kind of a set path for these things. You know, there's certain borders for it to operate within, and they tried to break out of that a bit with this movie, but there's just a lot of missteps along the way.
Which scene are we talking about? I don't remember
the very first scene of Last Jedi where Oscar Isaacs, who again is not given nearly enough to do, he's like pretends like he's calling that Hux, who's like that blonde Nazi guy. And then he's like, oh, I'm waiting for Hux. I'll hold.
Yeah, because Hux goes on this big, like, tirade where he's like, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I like that scene, so I guess I'm against y'all on that one.
It was very
calling back to Han Solo calling the guy in the Death Star saying there's a reactor leak and blah, 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 blah.
I would disagree with that because when Han calls in the Death Star scene, he's doing it because of the scene. There's a reason he's making that call. Yeah. Whereas in Last Jedi, the whole scene is built around the joke of the prank call.
Yeah, are you sure? Because they're trying to like...
No, yes, because they have a big shootout, and he's like, "Oh, don't come up here! It's a reactor leak, very big leak." And then the guy's like, "We're sending up some people." And then he shoots.
But it's just the exact opposite. It's the setup so they can do the attack.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to like, you know, hold him up or whatever, because he's just like saying, "Oh, I've got this message from Leia." Like he's trying to distract them.
Why was he trying to delay time anyway? I don't understand. Was he charging a weapon or something?
It was charging his boosters on his X-wing, which for some reason is a thing now.
Yeah, exactly.
The scene existed in order to tell the joke, rather than the joke being a relief of tension from the scene.
Yes.
So like in the original,
I liked it.
The original Star
I just didn't
Wars
like what it was for.
Based off of what happened, you know.
And what the hell happened in that scene anyway? So like there's all these bombers. The first
that drop bombs in space.
Well, the First Order like wipes out every single one of them except for one in about 5 seconds. But then that last one is flying like pilotless for like 5 minutes while this woman tries to like get to dropping the bombs or whatever, you know, like I'm just like, huh?
And that's the sister of Finn's sidekick.
Yes. Yep.
So, okay. Jones, could you explain this? Like why is it sometimes there can be just completely open parts of a spaceship and it doesn't affect people, but then other times Leia gets sucked into space? Like Is it like Star Trek where the force fields create a, you know,
nope,
yeah,
a
barrier?
I was completely confused by that too. Where like she's laying on that like landing,
and it's open outside,
that's exposed to space.
Right.
Yeah, but somehow she's still able to breathe. Like,
well,
I was mystified.
Same thing happens in Rogue One. Like, once the ship at the end flies away, Darth Vader walks up to the very edge of where it was, and he's watching it fly away, and it's like, is he in space or is there a force field? I think
on that one is just Darth Vader's badass and he has that respirator thing.
But he's got regular stormtrooper troops next to him.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean,
good point.
I mean, I agree with the stormtroopers, like, yeah, like Parker said with Vader, I'd be like, okay, he's a very powerful force user, he's got the respirator. I would buy him being able to do that, but yeah, like why the stormtroopers don't get sucked out into space, I don't know. Maybe they've got gravity.
Well, he would get sucked out into space.
Yeah.
He would get sucked out into space, too.
But he's a force user, so he could potentially be holding himself.
Or he has magnet boots, just like Star Trek VI.
If he's, like, prepared for it, you know, then he would do that.
But then the bomber, it drops bombs in space.
Yeah,
let's say there was a gravity field inside the ship.
Right.
So there would be gravity when they release, correct? And then they would just continue to fall through space on that trajectory. Couldn't you kind of BS explain
yes,
it?
Yes, I suppose if there's like, yes.
That
or they could have had
justified
giant strings
it.
Pushing them.
That was how I justified it in my mind when I said
because the thing is, they're near a planet, so in space, everything has gravity. So if there was a huge ship, bombs would... You know, in theoretical physics, go toward it. But the thing is, they're near a planet.
Not that
so the
fast.
And the bombs would be attracted to the giant planet, not the ship.
Yes.
And not that fast either. They could just, you know, it could just slightly just push them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not out of the stretch of imagination.
Yeah, so...
Right. I think the silliest thing was, though, it's like, they have, like, proton torpedoes and shit, and this is what they come up with, really slow...
Well,
moving bombers.
I think
just
it's
B-17 like, bombers.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like World War II. Like a lot of stuff in Star Wars is based off World War II, and so in this one it's like there's slow bombers and you have to defend them until they reach their target.
Yep.
But it makes less sense in this case.
Well, and it would have made more sense if they would have kept a few more of them going a bit longer. But it's like just the fact that they wipe out all but one of them, like. Basically instantly.
And since they wiped out all of them, that means it would be even easier for them to kill the last one.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Like, I was just sitting there, I'm like, how does shit like this get through? Like,
well, it's also, when you think about it, you know, the part in the movie where the cruiser or whatever basically hyperspaces into...
Oh, that's something, though.
Yeah,
we'll get
it's
to
like,
that.
Yeah, but it's like, they could have just... hyperspace an X-wing into the thing.
That's an entire other section of this podcast that I guarantee we'll get to.
We'll get there.
So I guess the point of that, the bomber scene, is to show that Poe Dameron is a risk taker and he shouldn't take risks, I guess.
Yeah, it's that, and then it also creates whatever this connection with this Rose character that they created for some reason. So
oh yeah, because it's like she doesn't want to die needlessly like her sister, I guess.
Yeah.
Here's a question. This whole slow speed space chase, which I think is actually the biggest problem with the movie, like basically that plot they chose, if the dreadnought was still chasing them, wouldn't that make it even worse for them? So I mean, it wasn't completely pointless to destroy that, was it?
No, I think it was justified to destroy it. Like, I mean, we've never seen one of those ships before, but, you know, like, Poe makes the comment, like, you know, hey, these things are bad news. We actually have a chance to take one out. You know, it gives you the impression there aren't a lot of those ships. So it was a good opportunity. So I'm sure it would have made things, you know, worse for them. But yeah, the whole slow speed chase, it's kind of dumb because it's like, the First Order is supposed to be this fairly good size, like, military. Couldn't Hux have just, like, called in some other ships, been like, hey, you know, drop out a light speed, like, here, and then just blow this fucking thing away?
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if they had, like, on the other side of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, especially if they had, like, 18 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah, you know, it It's like Ben it said when we were texting the other day. He's like, I saw this done better 10 years ago in a TV show with 1/100th of the budget called Battlestar Galactica. <You
know>? I did notice, though, in Rogue One, when they're looking through the file archive, trying to find the Death Star plans,
yes.
Like one of the plans they come across is hyperspace tracking. That's yep. mentioned.
Yeah. So the problem with that is, like, when they mention it, like, what was the Rose character is like, oh yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah,
it's like, no, you wouldn't fucking know what that was.
It's her and Finn. It's her and Finn just talking about it in a hallway. It's just talk. It's like, show us.
Well, I like how they know exactly how to, like, even though it's this new technology nobody's ever dealt with, they know exactly how to, like, shut it down. They know right where to go on Snoke's ship, which is apparently, like, a one-of-its-kind ship. You know, but they just magically know all this shit.
And that whole plot was so convoluted, too. See, that's my thing. I think the whole slow-speed chase was basically a stupid story idea.
Yeah.
And they should have just said, hey, let's crumple that up, throw it in the garbage, and think of a new central plot. But they stuck with it, requiring them to make a whole bunch of other stupid decisions in order to make the slow-speed chase kind of work.
Yep.
And it's the first time because of that is the whole, like, hacking bullshit.
Yes.
And it's the first time in Star Wars, besides, like, physical access stuff, that we see hacking in Star Wars.
Also, when they called Maz Kanata, okay, first of all, when they need a master hacker, so their first inclination is to call a bartender.
Apparently, yeah.
Who has a magical camera that can follow her while she's fighting people. During her conversation?
I could explain that away really easy. Like, maybe she's got some, like, droid thing flying with her that does that.
Oh, like one of those Destiny ghost things that no longer sound like Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with that, but I mean, this movie had so many problems that it's like...
that, like, see, I thought when they realized, like, trying to find this person was going to be, impossible, they would just drop the idea, and it was just going to be, like, a bit... But no, the bit went on till the end of the movie.
Yeah. They did find him, but they didn't even get a chance to talk to him because they were arrested for a parking ticket.
See, I thought that was really funny. That's very prequel-y, would be something like that.
I don't know.
I just didn't like the... Like, they say, like, he was wearing, like, that flower, red flower or whatever on his chest, but like the guy they find doesn't have anything to do with that, like nothing. So it's like, where
Nico,
did that come
from? The guy they were supposed to find, he's shown in the movie.
Yeah, he was like wearing a suit. Table that they were walking up to when they got busted.
Yeah, but was that guy actually that person or just a bystander?
I assume that was the person.
Well, the guy I talked to at work had an interesting theory about that. Like, he thought the reason, like, Del Toro's character was locked up was because he had lost all of his money to that guy, including that pin and why he was in the jail, though I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's because he is a hacker guy. He does just so happen to have all the tools he needs. Oh.
If you were a hacker, you would get kicked out of a casino pretty quick.
True.
Or locked up.
So maybe that is him, and maybe that dude that you see that really wasn't the guy. He was just wearing some of his winnings or whatever from Del Toro.
Yeah, I assume they have to bring Benicio Del Toro back because he basically did nothing in this movie.
Well, they just leave him. He has a cliffhanger line. Where they're like, oh, he just says, I think whatever he's talking with Finn and them, and he's just like, maybe. And it's just like, okay, is he going to come back and, like, save him, kind of like, Han Solo and Chewie at the end of episode 4?
Or Lando in Empire, he's like, I can save Han!
Yeah, to me, he was like a shitty Lando, is what he was, basically.
The thing is, Lando betrayed his friends, but then he also helped them.
Yep, exactly.
That's the whole problem with Last Jedi. It's all set up. And no payoff.
Yep.
Well, one interesting thing is, I don't know if y'all noticed, is that guy's white suit and the red flower is just like Indiana Jones in Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Watch that last weekend. Yeah.
But, the thing too is, it's like, to me, the chase is the first tipping of the hand towards let's kind of lift plot elements from old Star Wars movies, which of course once again happens frequently, because in Empire, a subset of the heroes are being chased by the Empire across the galaxy. Granted, it was infinitely cooler how they did it in Empire.
Yeah, like there's an asteroid field.
And it was Han, you know, like ripping shit up with the Falcon, and, you know, they had that big freaking worm and shit. And, you know, but it was
and,
like...
And he,
but
it's he like, bonded with Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
My yeah. hands are dirty, too.
But it's like, you know, this was kind of like... You know, again, we've got a subset of the heroes being chased across the galaxy by the bad guys.
Actually, all of them but one.
I actually was surprised that they also ripped off Return of the Jedi.
Oh, heavily.
I didn't expect that. You'd think that would happen in the next movie.
Yeah, but God, that throne room scene, holy shit. I swear some of the dialogue was direct lifted from Palpatine.
See, I think that was on purpose. Though
well, Johnson like loves Return of the Jedi, like he openly talked about that before the movie came out, so
it's definitely are we okay to talk about that scene now, or
we can
are we
spoil
on...
anything you want? We already yeah,
said we no, I don't want to jump ahead like I did earlier.
We didn't talk about Carrie Poppins, which was just laughably bad.
Carrie Superman.
I kind of liked that part.
Oh god
I was like, I watched that and I'm like, this is when she'll just, like, get vacuumed off into space, and then that's it, because she's dead, right? And nope.
To me,
I'm like...
her surviving that wasn't the problem. It was the way they chose to execute it that was just so bad. I mean, I was not alone, like, laughing in the theater during that sequence.
Wow.
It was just sad. Like, to me, what would have made more sense there is... Like, you already saw Kylo's kind of conflicted. Like, he, you know, didn't shoot when he could have shot the bridge.
Yeah.
Why not show his fighter flying past her one more time, and he, like, force pushes her into the ship. And then they pull her out.
Oh!
Well, I was just thinking maybe, like, that the hole opens up and sucks everyone out, and then she's flying out, but then, like, it's able to, like, you know... force move her towards like a railing or something, and so it's not like she gets sucked, like, you know, hundreds of feet out and then like Superman's back in.
Yeah,
so like she just like grabs on, like, you know, with the force just really quickly. That would have been fine.
Also, if she's in space, she's not going to just stop moving if she gets sucked out of an aircraft.
That's right. Well, she's like quite away and everything too, you know. I mean, it's like, yeah, and then, you know, never mind the fact of just being in space and trying to breathe, you know, whatever, but, you know, I don't know, it was like, I just felt like there were other ways they could have achieved the same result, and it would have been better plot-wise, but I think ultimately what that scene is they were like, oh shit, this is our last chance to have, like, Leia do something physical with the force instead of just, you know, sensing people's thoughts, people dying and shit like she's done. But
I think that's what was cool about her character, because she never had any, you know, formal force training or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that was just her shtick.
She could have. I mean, it could have. She could have learned a lot in 30 years.
They actually, like, so when they got rid of the old extended universe books. Because in those, she did get trained and became pretty powerful. But in when Disney, like, basically redacted all that shit and brought out their new stuff, she's very clear about the fact that she never seeked out force training in these new books. So,
oh, but you don't need to have training now. Everyone, and you can just use the force naturally.
That's true.
So I got a good theory about that one too, Ben, but we'll get to it.
Okay, well, I was just going to say another problem is that Princess Leia is not Princess Leia anymore. She's a different character.
Yes, yeah. She's well, second, so is Luke, for Christ's sakes.
Yep,
we'll get to that.
Because, yeah. You know, like, when you think about the original Princess Leia, she was, like, funny and spunky and kind of impulsive. And then you think about, like someone like Betty White. I mean, she's just gotten crazier and funnier as she gets older.
Yeah,
so you don't see any of that in Leia. She's just an old lady.
She's... more wise and knows more politics. So
that doesn't mean that she still wouldn't have that spunky flair, though.
That's true.
Oh, you know the other shitty part about that bridge scene?
The fact that she flies back and they open the door and they're not affected by the vacuum of space.
Well, that's one thing, but the really shitty thing is that, like, Akbar goes out like a bitch there.
Yeah.
They should have saved him and had him do the hyperspace suicide.
Yes.
And then Hux would have been like, it's a trap. And then... that would have been amazing.
Actually, people would have they could have had Akbar yell that out like while he was flying it at
them. Or when Laura Dern did it, Hux could have said, clever girl.
Yeah.
Although, yeah. it's really different franchise, but...
Well, that casino escape sequence felt like it was out of a Jurassic Park movie, so...
Oh, God, like, how many shots of CGI horse creatures do we need to see smashing through windows in that? It was, like, over and over and over!
Yeah, that just... To me, that just felt like seriously, I was just like, is this, like, Jurassic Park? Like, it felt more like... Again, there were a lot of things that just were not... didn't feel in place.
It feels like they had spent a ton of money on all those different creatures in that casino, and they're like, well, we have to show this. You know? Instead of just, like, cutting it. Like, there's a part in Titanic where, you know, the butler who has the gun, you know,
David Warner? David Warner, yep.
He catches up, and he has a fist fight with Leonardo DiCaprio. And the test audiences hated it, and it was like a $2 million scene, but they cut it because it hurt the movie. Mm. But this one is like, ooh, look at all these crazy aliens, and
yeah, they're way too hung up. Like, Abrams was so hung up on that shit. Apparently Johnson is too, about having all these, like, aliens and shit. It's like, you don't need to have, you know, quality over quantity is the way to go, you know? It's like, they seem to have...
Yeah, that scene felt like a Luc Besson movie.
Bit.
I did like with we're talking about aliens. The when they were actually like in the casino, like the aliens in there felt that was really like it was like the other spectrum of the cantina scene, basically, where it's like all the hoity-toity aliens. Yeah. Which was I like that scene, but I like they could have done a lot better with it.
I like the aesthetic of it, but ultimately, like, that whole sequence was pointless.
Yes,
to the movie.
I've heard people say that. Seeing the characters fail is the point.
I've seen that too, but it's like, did it really need to take like 20 minutes of screen time
to do
that?
Especially in a movie that's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Well, honestly, I think that pointless subplot still would have been acceptable to people had the movie just ended in a more satisfying way. I guess, well, we haven't quite got to that point yet, but...
Yeah.
So, if we're going to go on that, it's like, because they had, basically the whole... reason for that subplot was to get on Snoke's ship.
Yep.
It's like, what, like, if it was an older Star Wars movie, they would have just gotten caught and then use the emotions of whoever caught them to get what their way. So they would have gotten, so like Finn would have like jettisoned over or whatever, or was on the ship that got caught. And then that stormtrooper, the chrome stormtrooper, would be like, hold on, I need to talk to him. And then that was how that should work.
Or yeah, he could have been like, I captured this rebel woman and like I'm gonna bring her in. You're like prisoner transfer, you know, just like in the original Star Wars.
But at the same time, we don't want the same shit again, though. You know, it's at least I don't. I want to see like new shit, but have it like.
But I want to see shit that works.
Yeah, I want to see fit. Which I mean, it's not so this... easy. I mean, you know, it's not easy to do this. You know, but
so
it's
this like... is the thing though. It's fun to see them do new things, but it's stupid to see them do stupid new things.
Yes.
These are supposed to be heroes. They can fail. Sure, the whole point of the movie is all the heroes fail, right? But they fail because they did something stupid, not because they did something smart. Or they had a good idea and it just failed because the enemy outwitted them.
Which is not really very satisfying in a movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is... They fail, but we don't actually... Well, at least... I guess it's another point. Like, you know, you also notice, like, Rey's no longer the main character in this one.
And it was kind of more like Kylo, really.
Yeah, who's probably the most interesting character in these films now.
Yeah, I do have to say, like, I liked what they did with his character in this movie. He became infinitely more interesting than he was in the first one, when he was just basically emo Ren. So it was kind of nice to see them develop him a bit. And, I mean, Rey, you know, is still kind of a lazy character, but I like her for whatever reason. Like, I think there's potential there. They're just not tapping into it.
I think if they were going to, it would have happened by now. I mean, think of all the things that happened to Luke and Empire.
Yeah.
And what's the worst thing that happens to her in this movie? Like, Snoke flies her around a room, and then she finds out her parents are losers. That's a lot better than getting your hand lobbed off.
Yeah, and almost freezing to death in the first, like...
And getting punched by a monster.
Yeah. And,
So here's a question for you, Jones. I don't care enough about Star Wars to be offended by this, but apparently Luke Skywalker, even considering killing his nephew, apparently is just the worst thing ever.
Yeah, so this was one of my... This is kind of like... And I'm not a huge, like, Luke Skywalker fan. I mean, he's, like, the hero of the old movies and stuff, but I've never really been that attached. But it's, like, one of my core problems with this movie is, like, how they just fundamentally, like, fuck with the core values of characters. So, like, Luke Skywalker was the most optimistic, hopeful character in Star Wars. Like, he believed in Darth Vader still having good in him, like the most evil son of a bitch in the galaxy, and he believed in him, and he turned him to the light side, you know, before he died. You know, we're all very familiar. Then,
because Luke is willing to sacrifice himself for what he believed in.
Yes, but now fast forward 30 years. Oh, apparently he saw some kind of bad shit in his nephew's thoughts, had a brief moment of weakness where he thought about killing him, which is absurd. And then due to his failure, he retreats, becomes a hermit, and decides the entire Jedi Order needs to be destroyed. It needs to end. Like, it's so contrary to his character. It's just, I watch these things and I'm like, how can anybody who claims to love the original trilogy like these movies? Because they're basically like deconstructing Star Wars and replacing it with what the Disney version of Star Wars.
I mean, the only problem I have with it is the whole when he does have his moment of weakness. But everything after that, if let's say he did had that moment of weakness because, you know, whatever happened. Because, you know, that's like 30 years we don't get to see either. We don't know, you know, maybe he became bitter or something like that. Or maybe, you know, people treated him as a hero, but in reality, he didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, he got a lucky shot on episode 4 with the proton torpedo.
Yeah.
And it wasn't him. It was, you know, Chewie and Han saved his ass. And then same thing in, like, episode 5, he couldn't save his friends. And in episode 6, like, he was just talking to the Emperor the, you know, entire time.
That is true.
So, I think it's he didn't really I don't think he was the hero. It's what he said is I the only thing I don't agree with is the whole, like, is the whole, you know, moment of weakness, because you don't see that at all in the previous movies of his character. But if that was true, then I could see him going into, you know, what he was, you know, doing or not doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
When you bring up the deconstruction of a hero.
Yes.
I think the part where it kind of fails is, like, usually you see that they don't deconstruct the same hero that they created.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you look at something like Unforgiven, he wasn't the same character. I mean, it was a deconstructive, well, even the original Spaghetti trilogy or the Fistful of Dollars trilogy was a deconstructionist Western, but, mm-hmm. you know, he had that, and so, but Clint Eastwood wasn't playing the same, you know, John Wayne cowboy characters from the other movies. He was like a completely new cowboy, and they used that to deconstruct the myths. Yes. And then they did it once again in Unforgiven, but he's, again, in Unforgiven, he's not playing the man with no name. He's playing whatever his name
William
was, right?
Money.
He's a different, he's a different character. So you can deconstruct things when you use a different character to do it, but they're trying to do it with the same characters they used originally.
Well, to me, it just
and even then, in Unforgiven, at the end, he goes in and kicks ass.
Yeah, and the end of that movie is as good as movies get. Like the last 20 to 30 minutes of Unforgiven is just amazing.
Now imagine if you would have just sent a strongly worded letter to Gene Hackman.
I don't agree with how you're displaying my friend outside of your shop. Regards.
But it's like, I don't know, to me it just feels like, you know, it's like way back when Disney bought Star Wars, you know, we were like, oh, okay, this might not be a bad thing. But then they very quickly announced, oh, yep, we're going to make episodes 7 through 9, and oh, we're going to bring back the old characters. And it's kind of like, uh-oh. You know, and now when I see what they're doing with them, I'm like, why did they even bring them back? Because all they're doing is just kind of like casting them aside, destroying them, and replacing them with the new shit. So why not just
was
do
it like a
bait the new
switch?
Shit?
I mean, do you think Force Awakens would have made as much if the old characters weren't in it?
Probably not, no. But it still would have made a shitload of money. I mean, throw Star Wars on anything and it'll make money.
Well, the thing that also bugs me is if they're just going to throw those characters away, why even have them in the first place? Because I think a major problem with the new movies is that they take place too long after Empire. You know, or I'm sorry, after Jedi. The Empire, you know.
Yeah.
So
it should have been like 15 years earlier, I would say, at least. Like show us. Everything hinges around Kylo Ren being trained. Why isn't that the movie?
We're
just told about it in passing, but since they had to have those old actors, you have to advance the story enough to explain why they're old.
See, Ben, this is why they'll do prequel sequels next.
Well, the thing with this is it's like they really painted themselves in a corner when they, you know, made that choice to bring the old characters back. And I think basically what they're doing is trying to like get out of the corner by like killing them off, you know?
Because
it's like,
and the problem is,
well, it was restrictive to their storytelling to bring those characters back.
Yeah, it was a poor choice, really. And
but the problem is they killed off the wrong character in this movie.
Yeah. And we'll get to that. But but like my thing is, it's like, and I said this long ago, I'm like, if I were Disney, I would have just went and made like Old Republic movies. I guess we should talk about that when it's like how to fix this or something. But it's like they could have done their Marvel Cinematic Universe essentially with Star Wars if they would have gone down that path. Instead, they're in this corner they're trying to claw out of.
It'll be really interesting to see how they react to this. I think that's part of the reason why JJ was brought back.
Yes.
Because Han Solo was a complete mess. And then Disney is not stupid. They couldn't have not expected this.
Yeah. They really don't feel like they know how to make a Star Wars movie. But Disney
knows how to make movies. I mean,
they're making money, you know, but it's like, I don't know. It just,
but I mean, if you look at like the completely to a fault safe way the Marvel movies are made. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think The Last Jedi took the right risks.
Yes.
Of course, in 30 years, people are going to say it's the best Star Wars movie ever, of course, but.
Well, there's some people saying that right now, which I don't know what they're smoking, but
See, I actually thought it was funny when he milked an alien space tit.
Yeah, I laughed at that.
I like that. And I like that part.
It's like, oh, that's where the blue milk comes from. Okay.
Yeah, and then like it was Luke's stupid grin.
Yeah, when he like holds it up after he drinks it, and he's got like all the shit like in his beard and everything.
And beard and shit. Yeah, I'm like, that's perfect.
So Rey was raised on a sand planet. Yet when she falls down that hole, she knows how to swim.
Maybe the planet before she got dropped on the sand planet was a water planet.
Because in Star Wars, planets can only have one thing.
Oh, I got
thing.
It.
Yep.
She force floated.
Probably.
Oh, maybe she... What was that planet with all, like, where they made the clones? Like, Kamino or...
Kamino.
Yeah.
Kamino, yeah.
Your clones are very impressive. They'll do their job well. Look at that. I remembered a line from that movie. It's like 17 years old.
Well, the prequels are like infinitely quotable. Like they're just wonderful. Like this new stuff, it's like, you pretty much forget everything. One thing I did love was when...
Can you imagine would you watch a 20-minute subplot with the Casino Planet if it was like Watto?
Yes! Then it would have had purpose. Well, imagine if he was the one, like, running that freaking place.
Why couldn't he still be around?
Could be. Or it could have been Lando running that place since, you know, Star Wars
have you noticed, and everybody's around anyway.
I thought Lando was going to show up in the casino. Because I'm like, this is the perfect place to have that callback. And then it didn't happen.
What does he have to do with casinos?
Because he's just that kind of shady character that was in episode 5.
That means he's in a casino?
He was a gambler, but yeah.
Actually, yeah.
And he's a gambler.
They were talking about how everyone in the casino was like a rich like weapons merchant or something.
Yeah, I guess.
But oh, yeah.
Rich people don't go to casinos. Poor people do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was that whole, like, you know, oh, the real evil is weapon merchants and the rich.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't in the mood to have a company that just bought another studio preach to me about capitalism.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
One thing my favorite moment, I think, in the movie was the part when Rey hands Luke the lightsaber, and then he just chucks it over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
That scene was, like, so built up, you know, from the end of Force Awakens, where she's, like, holding out, you know, the lightsaber to him like it's the freaking baby Jesus or something. And I just loved how he was like, eh, fuck that thing. You know, like, just chucks it over his shoulder.
It was kind of funny because at work we were saying, like, well, what if this movie starts with her just standing in there still holding it out? And then it did.
It did.
It was going to. I mean, they always said this was going to be a direct sequel to the last one.
Which kind of makes you wonder, like, not much time has passed, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very short time period. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. I guess they could... Well, I guess they don't really care about logic or time or space or anything.
Yeah, because somehow on Luke's planet, like, a day is like 3 hours.
Well, it could be. I mean, it depends on the planet. Yeah. I was thinking about this.
I don't think that would make you go to sleep every 3 hours, though.
How would a planet have to rotate if it only have one biome? I mean, is it even possible if it rotated, like, against its rotation around the sun?
I think the reason why they do that in Star Wars, Ben, is to, like, reinforce what that
so you very quickly know where you are.
Yeah, I think that's what the whole point is.
But every planet now is like a rock planet. There's no variety. Oh, this planet has red dust on it. Ooh.
Did you catch that bullshit in it when you were on that planet? Because they had the part where the guy scrapes his foot, you see the red, and then the guy puts his finger on it, and he's like, salt. It's like their way of going, yes, we know it's a white planet, just like how Empire had Hoth, but this is salt, it's not snow. Like,
oh, that's why they did that? Just to say that it wasn't snow?
Well, I'm sure it was. I'm sure
it was. Oh, I thought it was snow until the footprints started coming through. Yeah. And then, I'm like, because of how they shot it and how it moved, it looked a lot like snow.
Someone drew a ship with, like, red dust coming out the back of it. And they're like, wow, that looks really cool. Let's design an entire scene around it.
Yep. See, I thought that was actually really cool looking and a really nice shot. Like, how they composed it. Because at the very beginning, it's all white, right? Like, right before battle. And then those ships come out that got the, you know, the red poof or whatever, sure. That just looks cool. But, like, by the end of it... Like, even though no one has died yet, all it looks like it's a bloodied battlefield, which I really liked how that looked.
Yeah, I liked that stuff with that scene and, you know, all that, but it's like, oh, look, we've got walkers again. You know, it's like...
Oh, but this time they have ape hands. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Talk about how the fuck Finn, like... got away from them.
Well, before we get to that, what about the throne room or something? We probably need to do throne room, or we're probably about at that point. Or is it mutiny plot?
yeah, we should probably talk about Laura Dern.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Who's that? Who's that?
That's a woman with purple hair who, like, wouldn't follow the plan. That's the girlfriend from Jurassic Park. That's why I said clever girl.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha. See, I don't know actors, so...
Yeah, you remember the one that, you know, like, yeah. Remember the blonde one?
Digging around in the dinosaur shit.
Wait, is she?
She's Alan Grant's girlfriend in the first Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
He's got blonde
okay.
hair in it. So.
Right.
So that's why a couple characters have blonde hair.
Girl, even though she wasn't in that scene. Also, that guy in Jurassic Park was so stupid. Like, why didn't he load his gun before he went outside?
Yeah.
Or just prepare it, at least. You know.
Anyway. Yeah, so after Leia's spacewalk, she's in a coma. So this character comes out of nowhere, Laura Dern, we'll just call her, I thought her name was like Hordor or something like that.
Holdo, Admiral Holdo.
No, I'm going to say Hordor, damn it.
Hordor.
Because Hordor is cooler. Oh yeah, he could have been holding the door to space, right, to protect
Leia.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, that's why people like Game of Thrones, because everything in Game of Thrones more or less happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need money. I need to kill this person. I need to retain power. And then
I need a door held.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas in these Star Wars movies, everything's random.
It took like 5 or 6 years to figure out the holding the door thing, but you know it paid off. So
more power. Yeah, that was so well. Let's not get off topic. So first of all, okay. So here's the thing. This is where I'm going to bring up Star Trek VI. So they bring up this
for the second time.
Yep.
So I'm keeping track, by the way.
Country.
They talked about magnetic boots earlier too. So anyway, so it's like I'm Admiral Hodor, and now I'm in charge. You don't know who I am, and my plan sounds stupid. And so you're like, okay, I don't know this. So as the audience, you're like, oh, I don't know who this person is. Her plan sounds stupid. Maybe she's evil, right?
Yeah.
It's just like in The Martian where. They had Jeff Daniels as like the head of NASA, and they linger on him for that one shot, and he's like, oh, is he evil? But then he isn't. So she's got this plan that sucks. So Poe Dameron's like, I don't like your plan. I'm going to send these people on a stupid mission to a casino planet. And then also mutiny, just because you won't explain it. But then in the movie, I'm like, yeah. I mean, because in most movies, when a character like stays the course, like George Bush, it's always the wrong mistake. It's the wrong thing to do. Yeah. It's like, it's just a storytelling thing. So like, she won't tell him the plan for no reason, which causes the stupid mutiny. It causes the stupid casino planet fight. It's a horrible mistake that trickles down and creates more horrible mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I actually liked the mutiny stuff. So,
well, cause it felt like really a payoff because it's like, she seemed incompetent. And so he took over because we've already seen Poe in the previous movie. So we like him more than her because we don't know anything about her.
Yeah. That's why I liked it. And I like how the only problem with that whole thing is he had zero consequences for his actions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That was so dumb.
It's like, well, that's where there's like, what, 30 resistance people left, though, at the end? Can they really be put anybody
true.
In a brig?
But it's, you know? But it's still like, it's going to be interesting in the next movie, because they killed off the characters whose actor is still alive, and the other one still is dead now. It's like, now you still have -1. I guess we'll talk about that later. I'll actually write that.
Yeah, it's weird. The way they killed Luke seems like a way you'd kill an actor who had actually died.
Yes.
Remember, it was like random close up, then a shot from behind, which could have been a stunt double, and they disappear.
Yep.
Remember? It reminded me of like Gladiator, where they had to finish it with
Oliver Reed was the actor's name that
died. Oh, not Lawrence Olivier.
No, Olivier died about like 20 years before that movie. But
it's
the scene where he reaches up or whatever, and it's like, yeah, that's, you know, not him at that point, but they can film it and get away with it. And
I just wanted to say another thing about the plot, the mutiny plot or whatever. So like, it's like on Battlestar Galactica, which I keep coming back to as well.
Well, because the best sci-fi ever.
It's
this
awesome.
whole movie felt like a bad episode of Battlestar Galactica, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Since you like Adama, when they mutiny against him, you want him to win because you like him because he's earned your admiration.
Trust.
Yes.
Whereas if a completely random character, there's define audience expectations and then they're just making a movie incorrectly. And I think that's why this hasn't resonated with people as much is because. Even beyond like things they do with Luke's character, like as a movie, it's just really strange choices are made.
Yeah. Well, I think how they handled it was the right way because he mutinied and stuff. And the person to stop the mutiny was Leia. And she like fucks his shit up, and then what should have happened is instead of like him waking up on the ship and he's like, you know, freaking out, he should have woken up like in the brig.
Mm. Yeah. But the thing is,
and then that'd be completely fine.
But the only reason she goes into a coma is so someone else that he doesn't trust can take over, causing him to do all the stupid plot, which creates a casino planet. Like, so the plot happens in order to create plot, not because it makes any sense.
Well, it's character development on his end.
I don't care. You know what? Character development is great and all, but you have to have a good plot first. Because Star Wars is ultimately not a character
movie. What if that whole thing, they didn't create, what if he didn't send them off to the casino planet? So it was, you know.
Okay.
Well,
back to Star Trek.
Well, I was just going to say, pretend Akbar lives and he takes over. None of that shit happens because Akbar would be trusted.
Because we've seen him in other movies.
Yeah,
if Poe went against Akbar, we wouldn't like Poe.
Yeah, we'd be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
So they basically have to pull a character out of their ass in order for a mutiny plot to even be possible.
Well, they probably would have done something else for Poe's character development of where...
So,
even though they kind of already did that with the...
His character development was crap. It's like, he's reckless, he becomes reckless again, and then...
No
repercussions.
That's the problem with it, is the only problem with his character development is what Jones just said, is his failure of repercussions. He didn't learn at all besides, like, going, oh, that's why the plan was like that.
Right. Well, here's something else. So, Star Trek VI, which I assume Parker hasn't seen, it's like a It's like a murder mystery in space. Right?
It's one of the best Star Trek movies. It's really good.
Yeah. So in that one, it's like
it's on Netflix.
Someone on the ship is a traitor. Because of XYZ, we know there's a traitor on the ship, so we have to find them. It's just like, you know, Murder on the Orient Express kind of thing. So they're trying to figure out who it is, and then they figure out it's one of the people on the ship. So, again, why couldn't there have been a spy on the ship? And that could have been the plot, like, who's the spy? I mean, maybe Finn has a microchip in his head, and they've been tracking him. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have been much better.
Oh, and he, like, rips it out through his nose, and it's a ginormous orange ball.
That would make a lot. The thing is, even though they've never established tracking devices on stormtroopers, it's something that you could believe. I mean, they microchip animals. It's totally a believable thing. So there's just so many different ways they could have told. I think that's the biggest problem with this movie. The story, I mean, it's okay, but the things that are dumb are really dumb, but they could have done better choices by just, it's like they wrote the script in a week and then didn't even read the script they had written and just started filming it. But
it sounds like they got really drunk and wrote up a whole bunch of plot points, like things that would be really cool to do in a movie.
Yeah.
And then just slammed it all together in that 16-hour space chase.
Yeah, maybe they should have reversed the space chase. Maybe – because like you, Jones said, like there's absolutely no reason the Empire couldn't call in more ships. It's stupid. There's no reason they couldn't have done that. Which makes it's like what Roger Ebert called an idiot plot. The idiot plot only works if all the characters are idiots. Yep, if anyone does anything logical, the movie's over instantly. Right.
That's
so,
what this movie was, yeah.
But why don't they flip it around? Maybe it's like there's a disabled Empire ship that's slowly trying to get away and the Rebels are chasing it. Like, you know, flip it around. Because the Rebels are the ones that don't have an unlimited amount of ships. The Empire does.
Yeah, you know, kind of like chasing that dreadnought ship or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the one thing I will say is, like, the thing I did like about the Holdo stuff was the fact that she ended up having, like, a solid plan. Because, like you said, normally you expect that character to be incompetent. So
or
I
evil.
Liked that. Yeah, or evil. So I liked that. But yeah, the whole problem with it is the fact that there's no reason for her not to tell Poe that, unless there was a spy on the ship.
Exactly.
Then you would have a reason not to tell.
You can just
add in a little thing like that. It's more interesting and it fixes it. I mean, it's just bad storytelling.
Yeah.
It's just no thought was put into it. I mean, just like as Parker mentioned earlier, like when Rose saves Finn and prevents him from sacrificing himself, which is one of the worst parts of the movie.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this a couple days ago. Yeah.
And then he drags her back to the base.
I was talking about, like, the fact that somehow her ship is, like, 4 times faster than Finn's ship.
Right, but like, even though
he turns around and he's still going, and then she still has time to like get in front and hit him at 90 degrees, and somehow they both live.
Right. So, oh god. So, okay, here's the thing.
That's bad.
But then how does he drag her back to the base? They're a completely open terrain with like 10 walkers ordered to kill everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's zero way. It would have made more sense for them to die.
Yes. Yeah. And I think what they were trying to allude, because right after the scene, right after they crash, they show Poe like getting into a tunnel. Right? I think that's what they were alluding to that, but it's like, why didn't it just show them getting into a tunnel?
That tunnel is not a mile from the base.
Yeah, I know, but if they just showed them like getting into a tunnel,
or fall into plot water, you know? That's when a character, like in Game of Thrones, where Jamie Lannister falls into plot water. And yep. It's like 2 feet offshore, but it's like 20 feet deep. Plot water. Actually, people fall into a lot of plot water in Game of Thrones.
The other one is plot armor.
Mm. Like horse armor?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Unfortunately, you can't buy it by DLC, Jones.
So here's the thing. Think about this. When Rose meets Finn, he's trying to escape, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're a hero. You're a hero. And then she's like, oh, you're a loser. And then she tranquilizes him. But then they come up with that stupid plot in the hallway. So then...
I like that, though. I really like that.
Hear me out. That setup is fine. And so as they go to the casino planet, fine, whatever. And then she grows to like him more. And then, but maybe there's a point where he's also maybe kind of cowardly again, or he does something that's not super great at the casino planet. So she likes him, then she doesn't like him. But then he's like, I'm an asshole. I need to prove that I'm a true hero. And the ultimate way he could have done that would have been sacrificing himself to save all of his friends, including her.
I
was really digging it. I thought, oh my god, he's gonna sacrifice himself to save his friends.
Yeah,
because he's set
so
up
too.
as a loser.
Yeah,
like he's running
he's
away.
Gonna Independence Day it.
Right. So you know he needs to redeem himself for that, and that would have been a perfect place to do it. Then she flies in and just completely ruins it.
Yeah, it's completely selfish on her part. Like,
I'll put it this way.
Yeah, what is it like? Oh, it's more important to save the ones we love than to kill the ones we hate. But it's like they're trying to kill the ones you love. It's so stupid. Well, it's like we have to keep Finn. He has to be in the third movie, even if it makes no sense.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. There hasn't been a decent love story in Star Wars since Episode 5. So
Yeah, it's...
Slash the beginning of 6.
But I don't know. I bet if you were rolling around with Natalie Portman in a hayfield, you'd probably... decent love story.
Oh my god, Episode 2... The worst love story. George Lucas just cannot write a love story.
They had that one good scene, though, where they were talking about their political philosophies. But yeah, almost everything else is bad. But like that one scene, they actually have a little bit of chemistry. And then in the deleted scenes, there's chemistry. But for some reason, he deleted them.
The whole I want to just be friends. And they're like sitting in front of that romantic
fireplace. Yeah,
and
she's wearing
nothing.
Outfit.
She had like a leather corset on.
Yeah, it was pretty it's just hot, like, but it's like, yeah, you're trying to turn this guy away. That ain't gonna work.
Yeah, it's like put a robe on, please.
Hello, Matilda.
Yeah, the thing that sucks with that like Finn and Rose thing is just like, you know, at that moment in the movie, in the story, the characters have no idea that like Luke Skywalker's coming.
The screenwriter knows.
They've got this like battering ram thing. Basically, the entire
battering laser.
The entire resistance is in that hangar. They're going to die.
And the only way to open the door is with the super battering ram, because otherwise the door is pretty good.
Yeah, and the only way to stop this thing is what Finn's going to do, and then she stops it. It's just like it's so stupid because at
ships
that
even
point,
have guns. Like, what was their plan? What else could you do with those things but crash them?
But they're basically
pieces of junk.
But I mean, it's like it's stupid because it's like, okay, you're going to save him, but you're going to let the entire resistance die.
And they would die either way.
And also, those two characters, they failed in their mission to Casino Planet. So again, like they need to
redeem themselves or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're the ones that got the hacker dude to tell him, hey, you should probably, you know, run a cloaking scan over there and...
Okay, can we also talk about the part on the ship when, yeah, Benicio del Toro betrays Finn and Rose for no reason. Jesus. Also, like, he helps them.
Well, why for no reason? He has plenty of reason. He doesn't know them, and he's just there for
but
money.
Why does the Empire even give him money? Because, like, the Empire catches all three of them. So how
that's
the hell
true.
Does – I guess he betrays them by telling them that they're ships. Like,
yeah, he tells them about the stealth transport ship shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much of a betrayal, you know. But the thing is – okay, here's the part that I was getting at. So they're going to execute them because in a world without Jedis, everyone has anti-lightsaber weapons for some reason. But they're about to execute them, and then that light speed attack happens from Hordor. And then it cuts back to it, and Finn and Rose are perfectly fine. Everyone around them is dead. And Phasma has teleported 100 yards away and then starts walking back over. What the fuck? Was there like a missing scene there?
Well, she had to do that so that she could look badass walking through the flames so that they could have their bullshit Finn-Phasma fight.
She was standing right next to them before
I know.
It's
I was
terrible.
Like, this is stupid. Like, and, well, the thing too is, like, she improbably...
Oh, she did have bulletproof armor. Also, she's coming back. Can't believe people actually think she's dead.
Well, she like
well,
improbably. Well, she improbably survived the first movie because she was supposedly on the goddamn planet in like the garbage chute or something when it blew up. But somehow she's here just to show up to get beaten by Finn in a fight so that she can fall into flames and theoretically die again. But yeah, she'll be back.
The ship didn't blow up.
Yep, and you didn't see her body. Yep. So yeah, she'll be back. Definitely.
She fell into a big, like, flaming thing, but I guess she's in her Phasma chrome suit, so...
Her eye might get burned.
Yeah. But yeah, that scene, it was just so stupid. And then right after that, like, BB-8 can pilot a fucking AT-ST now and shoot the shit out of everything.
Oh, God, I forgot about that scene.
I think they've worn out the welcome with that thing. Also, R2-D2 doesn't get to do jack shit.
Because R2-D2 doesn't sell toys anymore. It's all about the BB-8.
Well, yeah, Disney hates old Star Wars. Like, they just do.
Anyway, no, but, like, the original trilogy basically starred the droids. Like, all the storylines involved them, even when they diverged. Like, in Empire, C-3PO was on the Falcon, and R2-D2 went to Dagobah. The robots were almost like the storytellers.
Yeah, and R2 was, like, a hero all kinds of times. Like, he saved their ass, like, fixing the hyperdrive. You know, like
I did like the part where R2 showed the video of Leia to Luke. You
remember? Oh, yeah,
that was all right.
Well,
yeah.
Although, how much memory does that thing have? I mean, wouldn't it ever fill up?
That's what I was wondering. It's like, wouldn't he have, like, discarded that at some point? I mean, it's been, like...
through a defrag?
20, 30 years now, or actually, like, 60 years, I guess, at this point.
Okay, here's a question.
I found that was interesting, is that's what... took Luke, that clip was basically what got Luke to not be a fat piece of shit anymore.
Yeah, I like that part. And here's the thing, like, I was perfectly okay with Luke being a piece of shit. But the thing is, he should have redeemed himself. Like, think about, like, Rey sees his X-Wing under the water, right?
Yep.
Think about the audience reaction if he's like, you know what, I can't be a loser. I have to go save my friends. Just like he did in Empire. And then he looks at his submerged X-Wing and, like, just lifts one finger and boom, it comes out of the water. Just, like, super powerful.
Yep.
Unlike Empire. And then he flies it, and then
I did like their when he told Rey, he was just like, what do you expect me to do? Get in front of the First Order and stop them?
With
and
my laser sword? Fucking,
with his laser sword? And that's what he did. Except he did it. How will
Except
they set that
didn't,
up?
But...
Except he didn't. And then he, like... And then he, like, loses the will to live and dies.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, if you have to... if you see Luke Skywalker cut in half or shot with blasters, you're like, oh, he's been killed. But if you just have him disappear after he does, like, force Skyping, it's like, you have to...
force Skyping?
Like, you have to explain, like, oh, it took so much power for him to do that, and that's why he died. If you have to explain it, it sucks. You don't have to explain physical battle. Yeah, also, how cool would that have been? Like, he goes down there, he just... Here's another thing. Okay, this is with superheroes in general, which another reason I think people like Wonder Woman so much. You see Wonder Woman fighting regular soldiers, right? So you see a super powerful character fighting normal characters, and it's satisfying. That's why people like the end of Rogue One with Darth Vader so much. You get to see him be a badass Dark Lord, right? And so why couldn't we see that with Luke? Like, he takes out, like, you know, 50 stormtroopers, one of those walking things, and then he fights Kylo Ren, all doing that to help his friends escape. Hell, maybe that would have given Finn enough cover to walk a mile back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I just, yeah, there's so many force problems. Scooping. Yeah, my term for that is intergalactic FaceTime is what I call that.
His death would have felt earned, you know, because right now it's like he dies for no reason. He dies because they wanted to kill the character, not because he necessarily needed to die.
To me, that scene felt like such a betrayal. It felt like when you watch a movie with, like, these suspenseful elements and then you find out, oh, it was a fucking dream. Like, that's what that felt like when you watch that scene, and then you're like, oh, wait, he's not there. Oh, this is bullshit. Okay.
No, that is, he's a force Skyping, but I'm saying when it was revealed that he wasn't actually there, I was like, oh, did he kill himself in order to become a ghost to get to that planet quickly? But then that's not what happened because
that's
he was still alive.
That would have been a good way to sell it, but... Yeah, the alternative was the fact that he was still alive and then, like, lost the will to live and died.
Yeah, it was like a Padme-type death, basically, which was also weird. Yeah. It's like...
Well, at least Padme got force-choked, at least. I mean, again, there was a reason why she was hurt.
Yeah. So, I don't know, it's...
Maybe Luke, since he was just a fat piece of shit, just had, like, a heart attack or something.
It wasn't really a fat piece of shit. I mean, well, we skipped the throne room shit.
We skipped it a couple times. So, okay. I mean, it was a pretty cool fight scene, but
it was cool looking, but, like, it's the same sort of temptation bullshit that Palpatine does. It's like, do something fucking new. Like, he even makes her look out. A fucking porthole at the remnants of her fleet being destroyed.
And it had a magnifying glass in front of it.
But I mean, it's the same fucking thing. It's like, look at the little scraps of your resistance being destroyed, blah, blah, blah.
I think the point on that was, at least this is me putting my view on it, is when, because Snoke, we don't have a background for Snoke at all. And so he just comes out of nowhere, basically, to lead the remnants of the Empire.
He's a red herring.
Yeah. And so he's probably looking at how Palpatine
ruled. Footage of Palpatine?
Yeah, and so that's what I'm thinking.
VHS tapes.
He's like, oh, that worked really well for Palpatine when he tried to turn Luke. I'm going to do that.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking, though, is that was the parallels that were running. Is because he was the same kind, even in The Force Awakens, is that was the same kind of character. He was like Palpatine, except that in the end, he wasn't as smart as Palpatine because he was just mimicking him.
That seems like a stretch to me.
It's a stretch.
It's just lazy. It's lazy. Like the director said, I love Return of the Jedi. You know, that's why that scene's in the movie. You know, and he puts
I didn't
his
like
little...
that whole scene.
I like
the only thing I did.
The fight was cool.
I didn't like the magnifying glass thing because it's just like, why the fuck is that there? Why is that there? Is it just built because he knows Rey is going to look at it now?
Of course.
That's the entire someone actually had to, like, in the Star Wars universe, had to design, CAD that thing out, and build it, and install that thing there. It's like.
And Snoke Snoke had the script to Return of the Jedi sitting next to him too, so he could just read Palpatine's dialogue.
Read line to line. Now I did like that he suffered the same fate though, because he was looking into the future, and we learn more about how, like, the dark side of the Force looks into the future, where it's more about intent and. That instead of actually knowing the future, because he was reading Kylo Ren's intent of what Kylo wanted to do instead of what he was actually doing.
But again, there's no tension because you know Kylo Ren's not going to kill Rey.
Yes.
Well, of course. It just was. I thought it was. It came out left field for me when Kylo killed Snoke. That movie
could have, like, brought me back if they would have actually had Kylo turn good there.
Or have Rey turn evil.
Because I would have been like, holy shit, didn't see that coming.
Because that's what you expect, like, when they're fighting, you know?
So the problem is, if Kylo turned good then, what happens next episode?
What's going to happen in the next movie anyway? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing is that you have no bad guys would have survived then. Besides,
you still have Hux running around with the entire First Order fleet and shit.
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have made him look like an incompetent boob, that might have helped.
Exactly. Yeah, because when you have...
They could just pull a villain out of their ass like General Grievous.
They could bring Thrawn back.
Thrawn. But what I'm saying is, if they killed... Like, let's say they just killed the Emperor at the end of Episode 6, right?
Yeah, is what you're thinking.
Like, Tarkin's would have made a really good bad guy, too. Because they didn't make Tarkin's look like a doofus. Like,
But it's like, to me, that would have been interesting because, you know, you always sit there and you're like, oh, there's got to be a big bad, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So, yep. Like Ben said, there isn't really any tension there, but it's like, holy shit, if they would have, like, had him turn good, it'd be like, whoa, so him and Rey are, like, on the same side now? Okay, this could be interesting.
It would have given you really interesting questions to ask for the next movie.
Yes, yeah.
Or if Rey joined up.
Either way,
it would have been like, holy shit, didn't, you know, this is...
I thought it was a big shock, though, at least to me, when he did kill Snoke and took the reins himself, because that was, and for Kylo Ren's character, that was a big jump from the previous movie.
I'd agree, it was a bit of a surprise when that happened, so, it just was like, oh, okay, well, here we've got, you know... He's just going to ascend to being bad guy now, and
I'm an all-powerful Sith Lord, but I can't hear something scraping right next to me.
Yes,
I am unarmed. See, the Emperor was smart because he's like he's got no random lightsabers that can be turned on remotely.
Yep.
that goes back to Snoke was more.
He puts
of...
him into a lightsaber gun case.
Yeah.
The best way to protect your family.
Oh, Snoke was more of mimicking, you know, mimicking the Palpatine, and not he didn't have the wisdom. Like if you watch like the prequels, Palpatine is a smart motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Snoke never really, you know, gave into it. It was more of Snoke had so much dark force energy or whatever the fuck you want to call it, midichlorians.
Well, that's part of the problem is you know so nothing about him.
I was wondering, what are midichlorians?
Bacteria in your, like, skin, right?
It's just,
well,
it's
I mean,
just, like,
I do think having Rey be a nobody, I guess anyone can have the Force. Now, that does solve a major plot problem with the prequels, which is if being a Jedi is hereditary, but you're not allowed to love, then you'd go extinct.
Yeah, that my favorite theory about
they
that
never,
is...
They never said that they had to be Jedi-born children. Like, that was part of the midichlorian thing, is that they're just through all life forms, all organisms, so it
I guess that's true. And
it's
then
like, it's
Qui-Gon...
like Harry Potter is, you know, you can have muggle parents, and then you can pop out a Hermione, who's like a badass witch, you know?
And
like,
Qui-Gon says, if your son had been born in the Republic, he would have been detected early.
Yes, yep. So,
yeah.
But
like the whole my favorite theory about that is basically since, you know, Anakin kills all the Jedi, right? And the Force wants balance. And at least in current canon, right? So the Force wants balance, so it's going to you have Kylo Ren, which is like, you know, really powerful evil user, and then you have Snoke, also super powerful evil user, and then you have Rey who pops out of nowhere. Well, they kind of allude to that because Luke closes himself off from the Force, and so now you have all this. Where's all the light energy goes, and it goes to some random person, basically.
Broom Boy got some of it.
Broom Boy got some of it.
They saved the animals, but not the children. Way to go. Hashtag priorities, Rose and Finn forever. So are they setting up a Finn Rose Rey romance triangle, something
that felt like a very forced thing, but that's kind of what it felt like. Because Rey gives that little look over at them at the end, and it's like...
Well, that would be nice if Rey showed some signs of being a human.
That's true. Some kind of emotion besides, like, for some reason. She has no reason to have good morals.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she can't have them.
Yeah, no, but she has no good reason to. She was left on a desert planet. She had nothing to her name. She was taken care of by some, you know, asshole merchant. And it's like, there's no reason why she would be a good person besides they wrote her to be a good person.
So if she was sold for drinking money, does that make her a slave? Then why would he give her... Yeah, why would he give her portions? Or was that kind of like the company store of Jakku, you know, where you don't get money, you just get for your labor, you get things from the store.
See, I still don't buy that's the truth. It probably is, but you know, Kylo could have been fucking with her, like to try to, you know, turn her. It's like her biggest her biggest fear is being alone and isolated and stuff, which is why in the cave, like, she only saw herself when she wanted to see her parents and things like that. It's like, you know, that's her biggest fear is being alone. So I think he was trying to, like, tap into that. But, you know, it could turn out that her parents were nobodies also, but it seems like he could have been fucking with him or fucking with her, which would tie back to... If you go into Star Wars history, like, that's what James Earl Jones thought when he read the I am your father line. Like, he thought Vader was lying to Luke. Of course, that ended up not being the case.
Right.
But this would be a way for them to, you know, turn that into, like, a plot element. Well, there was one other Jedi lift I just wanted to mention. So the part where they have that Millennium Falcon, like, thing where it pulls the TIE fighters away and going through that trench canyon whatever thing, it's like that's a complete lift again from the end of Jedi when Lando and Nia Nub are like escaping when the blast happens. They even have like a bunch of like red shit blast out of the tunnel when they escape it.
I also noticed, I actually kind of like, I like that part, but then I'm like, oh wait a minute, they're just using the asteroid chase music from Empire Strikes Back. That's why I'm reacting. Then instantly I was like, you know, my boner.
But yeah, it was like stuff, it's like, it's kind of fun. And then you realize like, oh wait, they're just like rehashing shit again.
I liked all the stupid Porg shit. I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought it was funny that they just like slapped Porgs everywhere. Like in that same sequence, there's that part where the Porg like hits the window and gets stuck to it. And
you liked that?
I did, because I guess I don't care enough about Star Wars. So I just liked it because it was just so stupid. I like, but then I hate when a character walks a mile in 1 minute. Yeah,
it's just like me. There's shit I like in the prequels that people probably think I'm insane for, you know, but whatever. And, I liked the Porgs a little bit, but then there was just way too much of them, I thought. You know, I'm like, why wouldn't Chewie have just, like, eaten all these fuckers that are on the ship by this point, you know, instead of letting
that's a good question.
Screw with him he's trying to fly.
So I was thinking about, like, retroactively buying my niece a Porg toy for Christmas because I didn't go visit my family for Christmas because I'm horrible.
Okay.
So I was looking on Amazon at Porg toys. And I was wondering how much the giant one at Target costs. Anyway, but there's a book. It's called Chewie and the Porg. It's like a kid's book. So apparently,
I was hoping it would be a cooking book.
Well, a bunch of the reviews, you know, do make jokes about it being a cooking book. But so I think he becomes friends with the Porgs, and that's why he doesn't eat them. So I'm sure that book is actually canon. But it would have been funny, like it. If you're gonna make a movie funny, why not just go for it? Make it completely dark. Like, how funny would it have been if he just would have taken a big bite out of that Porg?
I was totally expecting that.
But see, a lot of people probably would have hated it as well.
Oh, yeah. The parents would have hated it, I'm sure. Like,
But it would have been so funny.
I was so excited when he had, like, the one, like, roasted, or he had, like, two of them roasted by that campfire. I'm like, oh, yes, he's going to eat one.
But then you can tell in that scene they weren't sure what to do because the Porg looks at him with like the Puss in Boots eyes. He just kind of stands there with the stick and then he looks at it and like he doesn't set it down. He doesn't toss it away. He doesn't eat it. It's like they're trying to have their cake and not eat it too.
Could have eaten it off screen what they did. Something, but it's like...
No, I bet you what they did is they recorded both, and then the A/B tested it.
Probably maybe. Some sort of shit. I wouldn't be surprised. Because, yeah, like Ben says, just the way it's filmed, it feels, like, uncertain. You know, like...
Yeah, and so right. That's what they did, is they probably filmed both and showed it to, like, oh, this is the group that normally goes to these movies, and, yeah, and measured their reactions to those scenes.
I just wanted to ask you again, Jones, since you know more about Star Wars than I think either of us. So the hyperspace suicide jump.
Yes.
So... Okay, my impression is that kind of retroactively ruins all space combat in Star Wars. Since you're well more versed in it than I am, what's your take?
I actually liked it. It was one of those things where I'm like, why didn't anybody do this before? Maybe they weren't right. Put in that
situation.
I mean,
yeah, it was a really cool scene.
It looked really cool, you know. Impact. I like the way they sucked sound out of the movie. When they did that.
It required no explanation. Like, all this other plot shit where they're like, blah, 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 blah. But this is like, oh, it's perfectly obvious what she's doing and what she did.
Yeah, it was very it was very cinematic in that respect, like, very well done. I didn't really think that it, like, fucked with, like, past space combat. I mean, yeah, I suppose, you know, in Jedi at the end, when things are going to hell, I suppose Ackbar could have, like, just launched Home One into... the executor or whatever, if he wanted to, you know, like Vader's ship, but I don't know. I didn't really think of it in that way. I just thought, you know, they were at a point where she's like, well, I'm fucked. I have no other options. I'm going to do this.
Because they do say in the first Star Wars movie, which is Part 4, you know, he's like, he's doing the hyperspace calculations and, you know, Han's like, we'll fly too close to a planet or something, and that'll end your trip real fast, won't it? You know, so they set that up. That collisions are a problem.
Yes.
They definitely ripped that out of the EU, though. I can't remember which book it was, but it was about it covered like some history of space battles and hyperspacing into other ships and stuff.
But I guarantee it gets retconned to the next movie. Like, there'll be a throwaway line, make sure our anti-hyperspace shields are enabled this time.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's what I was talking about earlier. It's like, you know, maybe how much damage, like, because X-Wings, because most small ships don't have hyperspace drives, but X-Wings do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's only because they needed, like, Luke to go to, like, Yoda's planet in Episode 5.
Yeah.
But, regardless, you know, I wonder how much one of those, because, like, when that ship slammed into the Snoke ship, like, it didn't actually cut that big of a gap in the Snoke ship.
Yeah.
Even though that's, like, a really large ship, it still kind of fucked it up, but didn't blow it up. So I wonder, like, what an X-Wing would do. Because then you would just say, oh, the easiest thing is to just hyperspace into all their ginormous ships with X-Wings.
I don't think an X-Wing would do as much. Like, I think the mass of the ship has to have some impact on it.
Yeah, it's like a bullet. It's like a big bullet versus a little bullet.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's like, what, you know, they don't really set that up too much. And it's like, they should have, like, cause, you know, they, like, put everyone on the carriers and they're going. It's like, well, the ship is doomed to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Why not just go ahead and hyperspace it right away?
Well, her plan was to, like, lead the First Order away. Like, that was the plan. And then she would get blown up inevitably by them, but then they would have thought they took out the entire Resistance by blowing up the ship.
Yeah, but they could have just turned around and then the Resistance, they would have thought the Resistance just suicided themselves.
Also, why couldn't
them?
They see the little ships going down to the planet again? Is there
some sort of, like,
stealth
tech or something on them?
Is that a thing? And also, like, didn't they?
Yeah, there's stealth stuff in Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
At least there was in the books and stuff. I'm trying to remember if there was any stealth stuff in any of the movies before this, though.
I don't think
there is in Episode 5. There is. I was looking this up because Ben was complaining about it. I'm like, no, it's...
Well, there's the part where they have
the original theory.
Well, they have the Falcon on, but that's just because it's not under power, like when they float away with the trash and stuff.
But that wasn't self-technology. That was being clever.
That's what I'm saying. They just, like, had the ship shut off and fell with the trash. But,
right.
Yeah, I was trying to remember when stealth stuff would have shown up, because, like, Boba Fett was floating in the trash, too.
No, episode 5, it was something like, that ship is too small for a cloaking device or something
that's
like
right,
that.
That's right, cloaking device. Yes, that's right. Yep. So you don't actually see it in the movie, but they reference that technology exists. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they say the Millennium Falcon is too small to have one.
They say it's too small to have a cloaking device, yeah.
Okay, that's right. All right. Hasn't there been faster-than-light travel in the Star Wars universe for like 20,000 years in that universe or something, right? Like a long time?
Yeah, it's a really long time.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it exists like in the Old Republic time, which is like a few thousand years before like the movies.
So, okay, this is going to sound very macabre, but it only took 50 years of jets before someone used them as a weapon.
Yes.
And then that was on one planet versus Star Wars, where you've had 20,000 years and hundreds of planets and no one thought of that.
Or maybe somebody did and we just never saw that happen.
I guess.
So this is the thing is I just Googled like hyperspace ramming in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And basically a small ship wouldn't even be able to penetrate the shields. And so you would need a ship big enough to do so, but that ship would be really expensive, and you know, like that's like the main ship of the
Is this Wikipedia entry from the last week? Or
yeah,
it's actually 3 days ago on the Star Wars Reddit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But I mean, I think it fits. I mean, I would, you know, just thinking about it, even if you don't have science behind it and stuff, just kind of like thinking about it, it would make sense that like if an X-Wing smacked into Snoke's ship, you know, it might kill a few people in that spot, you know, but it's like it's not going to like leave the ship in half or whatever, but like, you know, a massive like capital ship hitting it would have that wide of a berth or whatever that it would cut through space when it went into hyperspeed. So I mean, it just makes sense in the context of the Star Wars universe, I would say. It was just like when I watched Die Hard 2, or, you know, and I remember when I watched Die Hard 2 way back when. And
the best Die Hard movie of all.
And they slammed the planes into the runway, you know, kind of did that sort of shit. And I remember at that time, you know, again with the macabre thing or whatever, but I remembered at the time, it's like, wow, nobody's ever used one of these to, like, smack a building. And then, you know, of course, it happened a number of years later.
Oh, you mean where the plane crashes because it has the wrong altitude.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought about, like, why hasn't anybody, like, weaponized one of these things or something? And then,
oh, are you talking, like, back in the 90s when you watched it?
Yes, and then it, you know, ended up happening. So it's kind of like this, where you're like, well, why didn't anybody do this before? And it's like, well, maybe they did or maybe they didn't, and now they have on film anyway, so... Holdo or Hodor or whatever got it done. So
I guess next question is, like, I guess we kind of talked about how they could fix this movie because, you know, they just could have tweaked a few little things and it would have been a lot better. And yeah. I think, well, I talked about Rogue One. Like I said, like, I found most of it really boring, but the ending was really exciting. And that's what you leave the theater with. Yeah. And I think if they would have given Luke, like, a really cool, like, you never get to see Luke kick ass, and you never will now.
Yeah, it would have been so cool if he would have actually, been there, fucked some shit up, died heroically. Like, he could have shown up in the X-Wing and everything.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he could have drawn the fire off of Rose and fucking Finn or something, you know, by, you know, sweeping in with the X-Wing. I don't know, but...
I think they should just, they would have cared... To fix most of the movie problems, or at least some of them, is like Carrie Fisher should have died when she got sucked out, like dead stop there.
Yeah,
and then it leaves the rebellion without a leader, because then Purple Hair Lady, like, we don't like Purple Hair Lady, Poe, and that all happens, right? And then at the end, still have Luke does his Force Skype thing, right? But he doesn't die, and then at the end of the movie, he shows up with the rebellion as the new leader.
Yeah, that could have worked. See, that way, it would have. Yeah, It's better than what was on screen.
I guess, but it's like that's never really been Luke's role. Like, Luke's not.
It wouldn't be. So, but they would have a living actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. People can bag on Attack of the Clones all they want, but I have never heard a theater go so nuts as when Yoda whipped out his lightsaber.
Yes.
And
yes.
They could have had that moment in this movie, but they didn't.
I remember seeing that like at the midnight show. I mean, there were literally people jumping out of their seats, like freaking out when Yoda like whipped open his robe and popped out the saber. And now I see people are having all this revisionist history about that, like trying, like seeing the defenders of Last Jedi now going back to like old movies and trying to rip shit apart. They're like, oh, well, Yoda like flipping around doing backflips and shit like that. Like, what the fuck was any of that? And blah, blah, blah. And
yeah, but that was badass.
Yeah,
but
it was goddamn cool.
You've seen this character. You've heard that he's powerful. And now you get to see him be powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like with the X-Wing, like, it would have been so amazing. Like, Luke couldn't get it up with the X-Wing and Empire. And then you see, oh my God, look how effortlessly they show it in the water. Why?
Yeah,
there's no purpose.
Yeah, it's right there.
Why not remove that 5-second shot out of your way too long movie if you're not going to use it?
Yeah.
Lifts it out of the water. Crowd goes nuts. Flies it there. Kicks a bunch of ass.
Crowd
goes nuts.
Yep.
Think about it. Like, people loved it when a bad guy killed heroes at the end of Rogue One. A lot of people say that was the best scene of the movie. He's the bad guy, but people loved that scene. And you could have had that same scene at the end of Last Jedi.
Well, so So in Rogue One, it's a little bit different because it was a bad guy. It was Tarkin's killing someone who was an asshole.
No, he's talking about Vader going through the ship.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You're right. Yep, you're right. Okay.
I never heard that many people like flipping their shit about that scene. Like when I talk to people about Rogue One, they never bring up that scene. I know you always bring it up, but I was like, oh, okay, Vader's here, whatever.
But the thing is, you never get to see, you know, robotic Darth Vader in his prime. Like, his lightsaber fights aren't really super amazing in the original trilogy. So it's like, okay, here is Vader kicking a bunch of ass. It's like, and then you get to see it. And then, so we see it, we get to see a villain do it, but we never get to see the hero do it. That sucks. I think that's why this movie isn't really connecting with a lot of people, is because it's ultimately show business. Like, this is what your audience wants to see. Why did you spend all this money on Star Wars if you aren't going to make something that's satisfying for Star Wars fans?
Yep. That's what I'm saying, is Luke should have taken over the rebellion at the end and been, I know that's not his role in previous movies, but that was what fans would have wanted and really have liked.
Well, the thing that he would have been good at being was like becoming the symbol of the resistance, because, you know, all these people in the galaxy have heard of Luke Skywalker, you know, they know who he is, so like that would have been
his role.
Which he
could have achieved by dying heroically.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole thing at the end, was he was the light to spark the rebellion again.
Yeah, but
it was such a freaking cop out with the freaking fate shit.
But I mean, I know what it ended up being, but it's like there were so many other ways to do that, like more satisfyingly.
To do it right,
you know, like it's.
Oh, I agree.
I've seen people mention that, like this new movie is like very like millennial and nihilistic and deconstructionist. And if you think about it, the original Star Wars was a response to the nihilism of filmmaking in the 70s. It was like all those disaster movies and political movies and Watergate and Vietnam War. And then here's a movie where it just uses the ancient hero's myth, you know, hero's myth, man with a thousand faces, hero's journey, monomyth. And then it's just straightforward story. It's like space cowboys and a princess, and people ate it up.
Yep.
And now, you know, 40 years later, we flipped it on its head. We're like, okay, there aren't any heroes. And nobody's special, and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, people always want a hero, you know. I don't think it's really proper to take the essence of what made the movie popular. And again, if you're gonna deconstruct something, do it in a different movie, you know.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
If you want to deconstruct the idea of a Star Wars type hero or monomyth hero, make a movie about that. Don't do it within the same series.
Well, the thing that I kind of, I said this to you in a text the other day, but it's like I'm not a big comic book guy, but like seeing this movie, especially after Force Awakens, it makes me understand the position of a lot of like the DC comic fans that don't like the Zack Snyder movies, because he's done a lot of that with those characters, especially like Superman and stuff like that. And so now seeing it happen with something that, you know, I've held close to my heart for like my whole life, it's like, yeah, it's a shitty feeling when you see them start like destroying the essence of these characters.
Right.
You know, because it's just like what they did with Luke. Like I said, it's like it's just like bullshit. It's like, you know, I don't know what happened to him in those 30 years because they didn't fucking show it to me. So it's like I go from like the happy guy at the end of Jedi, everybody's got a happy ending, to like, oh nope, here we're gonna like fucking, you know, bring him back in Force Awakens, and you know, Han Solo and Leia are broken up. They had a kid. He like fucked up with Luke. Luke's a hermit now. Han doesn't have his ship. Oh, Han's got his ship back. Oh, now Han gets his ship. Oh, he gets killed by his son. You know, and then like, yeah. And then Luke's off hermiting it up still. And then now you get to him, and oh, he's having a crisis of faith. He thinks the Jedi suck. Like, it's just like, fuck all of this. It's
well,
not.
Yeah, and the thing is, Jones, is they could have fixed all that is if Luke's version of what happened was what happened.
And I think the problems go a lot deeper.
And so,
than
like,
that.
Snoke fucked with Kylo Ren's head so much that Kylo Ren went off. Well, and that would have solved all that issue right
I
there.
I think it's like Ben said before, though. It's like, show the movie where Luke's like training them. Show
that's what
that,
I want to
like,
see.
Kylo, you know, like fucks him over and like runs off, and you know all this stuff. Like, show that stuff.
Right, the movie is about Kylo Ren, basically. Yes. So why don't we see his genesis? The reason we don't is because they had to include these old characters. Making the movie need to take place 30 years after to explain
see,
why the actors
the
are 30 years older. Well, I want to say one more thing. So when you were talking about a minute ago, Jones, about like, you know, everyone had a happy ending in Jedi and then they had to tear it away.
Yeah.
It's because it's the same characters. It's like, if you want, because in order for characters to have conflict and things to happen, you have to take things away from them, right? Mm-hmm. So in order to use Han Solo again and Leia and Luke, you have to take things away that they'd already earned so they can get them back. And that's what makes it unsatisfying for you. Basically, it makes all the things at the end of Return of the Jedi moot. Again, you solve that problem by just having different characters.
Yep.
See, I was thinking about this.
Well, all the Rey basically is like super magic girl, but. You know, like, oh, here's the new Luke. It's not Luke. It's kind of like Luke, but she's got a shitty life. I mean, I love the start of her story on Force Awakens.
It's so good. Yeah.
No dialogue. You know everything you need to know about her just by seeing her go about her daily business, and then her life changes. Like, that's great. Like, but by having to cram in those old characters, it just I assume you watched Terminator Genisys, Jones.
Oh yes.
And like the whole stupid plot revolves around the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger is 70 years old.
Yes, yeah.
Like, everything, all the machinations in that movie rely on that, and it's just stupid.
All right, so this is the thing, Ben. Is just so if they would have made the movies 15 years after Episode 6, right? So 7 started 15 instead of 30, right? It would have been fine. Just because they just look older, they can just be 15 years older and just look old as shit. That'd be fine.
Yeah, but it's like to me, it's like they didn't even need to do any of this. You know, it's just like to me, it's like Return of the Jedi. It has the big ending. Lots of things are resolved. Everybody's happy at the end. Couldn't we just let them be happy? You know, like we could be left with the thought, like, you know what? Han and Leia went on. They had a life. They were happy together. Like, Luke was happy. You know, he finally had his sister, and, you know, they could have their relationship, you know, whatever. Like, why couldn't we have just had that? No. Disney had to come along and, like, shit all over all of it.
I mean, you're right. I really wish Episode 7 went into the Battle of Jakku instead of how far forward they went.
Yeah,
it doesn't even need to exist. You didn't need Episode 7 through 9.
Like, yes, we Yes, we do, because there was in the EU.
I think Jones is saying that it should be something completely different, like
Old Republic. Yes, just do other movies. Like if they would have went and done Old Republic, none of that shit's ever been told on screen before. They could lift whatever they want out of all the old books, make their own stories, and they essentially could have done, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Star Wars, because they could have went off and told, like, these Sith guys stories and, like, these stories.
Do you think the idea of a prequel is, like, so hated that they didn't do it just because of the dreaded word prequel? Although Rogue One was a prequel.
But it wouldn't have even had to have been a prequel. They could have just said, this is Star Wars, The Old Republic, and gone nuts with it, you know? And cause, I mean, it's like, there's all this, like, great lore back there. Like, it'd be neat to see, like, on screen how the Sith Rule of Two came into being. You know, things like that. Like, they could have explored all that stuff. But instead, you know, like we said before, they painted themselves in this corner by deciding, oh, we're going to make 7, 8, and 9 and bring back the old characters. And it's just, I don't know. It's like, you know, because it's like for over 30 years, you know, we were left with like, hey, our heroes we liked, you know, they won at the end. It was great. You know, sure, there was probably some cleanup to do afterwards, but they went on. They had like happy lives and stuff, you know, or you'd like to think so. And then this movie, you know, episode 7, comes along and it's like, oh, yeah, all that shit that you kind of thought happened? No, none of these people are like, in a good place now.
It's like if there was a new empire. Well, of course, I've talked in much detail about how I think the First Order doesn't make a lick of sense.
Yeah.
It should have either been like really quickly or like a long, long time. Like, look at Germany. You know, it was like, you know,
yeah, it was the very repercussions quick after of World War One
triggered World War Two, basically.
Yeah.
And then, but since then, you know, it's been like, what, 70 years? And,
Well, that's what I was talking about, is it should have been, you know, Battle Jakku, which happens, like, I think a year after the second Death Star explodes. So it's like, and that's like the true actual, like, downfall of the Empire. Like, sure, the Empire died in the end of episode 6. But episodes in the Battle of Jakku, that's like where most of the leadership, like admirals and stuff, die in the Empire. And so then you could show, you know, in episode 8 or in episode 7 to 8 would be like Snoke actually coming to power, and then, you know,
well, perfect,
you know, make
world.
It kind of interesting.
Perfect, right. Perfect world if they would have, you know, if you could go and look at, like, what should 7, 8, and 9 be? Like, if you could get in a time machine and go back, like, 25 years ago and they make Star Wars movies then, they would have just made the Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy. But you would have original characters. It's set shortly after Jedi. It's basically dealing with, like, okay, yeah, the Emperor's gone, but there's still all these, like, pockets of, you know, the Empire out there. Like, there's this Grand Admiral Thrawn guy. He's found, like, a cloned Jedi that's kind of, like, crazy. You know, so it would tie into, like, the Clone Wars shit with the clone Jedi. It would have, you know, this great new character, Grand Admiral Thrawn, which is, like, the dude, he's finally, they put him in that Star Wars Rebels, like, animated show, but it's, like, up until that point, he had never been on screen. He was only in those books, and he's like a beloved character. Like, people love him. Like, he's like, he's my favorite villain in all of Star Wars. He has been ever since I read those books.
Even villain is stretching it. Like,
well, he's
like, when you when you read, I've only read the newer books because they basically, you know, retconned him, and then they rewrote his books.
They did Thrawn Begins. And,
Han Solo in those books?
Yes, Han is in the Thrawn trilogy, like the original Thrawn trilogy.
All right, because the reason I ask is, like, if so, like, let's say they did that instead of the prequels, right? Probably wouldn't have been able to get away with that time wise. But then, I mean, Harrison Ford's star kind of started to fade in the late 90s. But had it faded enough that he would have done that? Maybe that's a question.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean,
like
story-wise, they're really good, though, you know, and it's, I don't know, it would have been a better 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, I would agree.
But it's still the characters you care about, you know, it's like, they're still the main characters. The problem is, in these movies, they're not the main characters. They're there just to pass the torch, basically, which isn't very satisfying.
But nowadays, every movie has to have the same actor. Like, they can't recast, they have to digitally recreate them.
So
yeah, because so for some reason
that
people
story
can't...
requires those same actors, and that's the problem. So in the real world, it can't happen because like, oh no, you know, they're too old. Or
yeah. For some reason, people can't be like me and not give a shit about the actors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if there's a young Harrison Ford. I mean, movies used to change actors all the time. Like nobody cared when James Bond did it.
Thing is, that's different, though. Like, and people did care when Connery left the role originally, but I mean, like, Bond is a different animal. I mean, you look at Star Wars. You know, it's like Han Solo is Harrison Ford. These are like contiguous films telling the same story. Like the Bond movies. You know, there's sometimes they tie together, but a lot of times they're just kind of their own thing.
But here's the thing: like when you say, okay, they should have made the Thrawn trilogy for 7, 8, 9. However, since Lucas did make the prequels and kind of missed the window to cast those actors at the right age, basically the only way to do that now would be to basically have different actors in the roles.
Well, that's why I say don't even make 7, 8, and 9. Like, the window of opportunity to make 7, 8, and 9 passed back in, like, the early to mid-90s, in my opinion.
Right, you know, so in which like, case they should go, like, way into the past, like Old Republic.
Yeah, but or go into a completely different corner of the galaxy, like, 50 years in the future and tell other stories. And there could be little references to Luke Skywalker and stuff, you know, like, oh, you know, you hear somebody mention something about him. You know, like, because he's like a historical reference at that point.
Well, Star Wars is an incredibly small universe. Like, look at all these spinoff films. It's like Obi-Wan, Jabba the Hutt, Han Solo. It's like, these are all old characters. It's like,
you know, what's really interesting about the Star Wars universe is actually how quickly people forget about things. Like, if you read the new Thrawn book, which is The Thrawn Begins, and it's like, it's only been like 10 years since like the Jedi had like a council and shit. And people were like, oh, the Jedi are myths. It's like really quick where people just forget about things.
Well, but that's from JJ, you know, basically. Yeah. Like,
and but no, the new Thrawn book is not JJ, well,
but Zahn it's part of his universe.
It's in this new canon.
JJ Abrams wanted to erase the entire universe. And then whatever he came up with, Force Awakens, was a new template. So I think there was a really – so I think J.J. Abrams is a really good filmmaker.
Yes.
Not
he
necessarily
shouldn't write anything.
Yeah, but not – yes. Remember all those movies that Steven Spielberg wrote and directed? Both of them?
There's like two of them.
Yeah.
Granted,
yeah.
They're both really good, but those are the only two he did.
Yeah. But I guess my point is – there was like some really masterful nostalgia in The Force Awakens. Like the fact where it's like, you know, Rey is like, oh, the Jedi, they're a myth, but they do exist. You know, and Han Solo is like, everything you've heard, it's true. And what he's really saying is Han Solo is saying to the audience, your childhood was true. It's still there.
I guess.
And that's, no, that's what he's saying.
Fair enough. I know you've said that many times before, and I'm like,
but you see,
that's fine.
It's allowing your memory of those old movies to actually kind of work with the narrative, like, oh, that was a long time ago. Even like Jakku, where you see like the half buried ships. It's like, oh, that was my sandbox when I had the toys in the sandbox as a kid. I think that's what he was going for. And
yeah, Han Solo is like, it's true, and now Disney's going to shit all over it. Get ready.
Yeah. Okay, so what could they... We should probably wrap this up. This has been kind of long, but... Okay, well, the next movie. There will be another super weapon.
Yes.
Of course. Because they had the Snoke ship, and they had the Dreadnought in this
one. The thing is, this one was, again, kind of like...
Oh, in the laser...
Vader's big super ship in the second one. This one, you had the Snoke ship. But there was no big death weapon. Like, you know, you didn't have a...
No! They had the same thing. The great thing about the Empire is they love ginormous lasers. Mm-hmm. So they had the Death Star, and they're like, okay, that blew up, so let's put a Death Star laser on a Star Destroyer, which is the Dreadnought, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Snoke ship didn't really do anything besides, you know, get a ginormous gouge cut into it.
Well, it's just like Vader's big capital ship. It just floats around looking badass, basically.
Yeah. But at the end of that movie, they have the portable cannon of doom. which actually looked really cool. But yeah, it's like they don't have anything like stupid, ginormously big.
Well, yeah, that's good, but it's like it also was like, well, yeah, just like Empire, you know, like
until Ben said,
well, of course, there's going to be another big super weapon in the last movie, just like how in Jedi they brought back the fucking Death Star. I'm sure they'll do something like that. Star Killer 2.
See, okay, here's one thing that people forget. Okay, first of all, Empire was not beloved upon release either, and it made less than the previous movie. However, in the modern age of sequels like Marvel movies, this movie probably should have actually made more, or it should be doing a lot better than it is. It's definitely underperforming. So
yes.
They're not going to start filming the new one until like the summer, I would assume. So I'm sure they're already course correcting behind the scenes. And you have to remember, Rogue One was 50% reshot. Han Solo was basically completely reshot.
Yeah.
I had to imagine some people at Disney probably aren't super thrilled with how this purchase has gone so far.
I don't know how they can't be. I mean, they bought it for $4 billion. You figure they got to be getting in the black before too long. I mean, these movies have made a shitload of money, all the merchandising.
Right, you know. But
I mean, there's been some fumbles.
Don't you think
they'd
rather only do a movie once instead of twice?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'm sure people are pissy about that. And I think at some point, ultimately, that falls to Kathleen Kennedy or whatever. You know, like, seems like some point she's gonna have to answer for some of that shit because she's the one picking the directors.
If Han Solo underperforms, I think she'll be gone.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I could see that happening.
So, I'm thinking because we're talking about like you know what the next super weapon is, and we know from Episode 7 that they basically stole Star Deathkiller from the old EU, which is called Legends now. It's going to be the same thing. They're going to find some interesting-looking super weapon from that's already been created, and that's what they're going to use.
And it'll have. Oh, I'm going to. It's going to have like a ring around it, like Saturn. It'll be like a Death Star with a ring around it.
What could they do to make Episode 9 good? Like, what could they do
with what
to
they
make
have?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
with where things are right now, like
they
how
can have
do they?
Rey... Rey can undergo some sort of challenge or adversity, allowing her to grow as a character.
For once?
I mean, she's not even really the main character of this movie. She's not really in it. I just think that's a major problem with the movie, is that they make her, like, so super amazing that she sucks, basically. Like, but then you had a movie literally called Wonder Woman, and she lost her friends, her boyfriend dies, she gets beat up. She has misconceptions about the world. Her thoughts on the world change because of the events in the movie. Like, she was a much more believable person.
Even though she was like, a god.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As opposed to Rey, I can do anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Superman problem. You know, like...
Nope. No, it isn't. Superman couldn't save his dad. His dad had a heart attack. Superman's powers could not... stop that.
I know,
Superman
Gene
Hackman puts a rock around his neck. Superman had more problems.
You're talking about like the original Superman movie, but I'm just saying like the general idea of the Superman character, like he's basically like this invincible character who can do about anything.
Right.
The only thing that could stop him is a green rock. But then in the movies they found ways to make him vulnerable like that and show that like he can't prevent like the death of people he loves and things,
you have to give them adversity.
But it's like with Rey, you know, she's kind of like the stereotypical Superman problem. It's like she could just kind of do anything. You know, they haven't like
but they
found
don't even
ways
bother...
to break her yet or
yeah,
give
even...
her issues. Yeah.
They don't even try.
It's yeah, like so
she has like a free ride and like it sucks. And
yep.
So it's like, oh, she can fight and she's pretty, so she's super cool. But if you think about it as a character, she's not a good one.
Yeah.
So I think they could do something like that. She should like lose an arm or get beat up or suffer some horrible defeat. I do think the next movie will jump probably like a good 10 years into the future.
Yeah, I think it's got to move
future. That's interesting. Because that's the thing is in this episode... because it's the middle, right? It's she should have suffered a loss, but only she didn't suffer a loss. Only the rebellion suffered a huge loss. So it's like she didn't actually suffer anything.
I mean, I guess if she was trying to turn Kylo Ren good, I guess she failed to do that.
Yeah. But, like, it doesn't affect her. Like, you don't even see her, like, get away or anything. It's just she gets away.
Yeah, she just happened to find, like, Snoke's ship is what we're told, and she got
a line of dialogue. Which
I thought that was BS, because in older Star Wars, we see when people get away.
But again, this is new Star Wars where it takes no time to teleport between planets, and Finn can run 100 miles an hour while dragging someone on a piece of junk.
Yeah. Oh, so in the EU, there's something called the Ion Ring, which basically can make planets, like, it can control climates on planets.
So
that's something that's a ring.
Oh, there you go. Then they could have a climate change statement in the movie, you know, like, oh, we're making the planet too warm, or that would actually be kind of interesting. Like, they change
that.
They change the weather on a planet.
Yeah, they could turn Snow Planet into, like, tropical planets or something.
So like a planet would actually have. So a planet would have two climates in a movie for once in a Star Wars movie. So that there's the link for the Ion Ring.
Or maybe they could move a planet.
At least it wouldn't be like this big laser beam that just blows shit up. Like, it would at least be different from that.
This is the thing. It's like I'm looking through a lot of the old EU stuff, and a lot of the stuff is, especially since it's like post, like the fall of the Empire, a lot of it's based on the Death Star technology, so it is just ginormous lasers.
That's not surprising. Yeah.
Even in Star Trek II, you know, the Genesis weapon was the power of creation, but then we could use the power of creation for evil. So it was a little bit different.
Give me Genesis! So if you want to go in farther back, there's actually was called something called the Great Hyperspace War, which is in the Galactic Republic versus Synth Empire. So,
yeah, so that's back in like Old Republic time, I think.
Yeah, that's 5000 BBY, which, yeah.
That's before
the Battle of Yavin, that's what that means, BBY.
Yep.
You know, the Han Solo.
I know
movie.
That.
Yep.
Off the top of my head, I know that shit.
Isn't the Battle of Yavin where they blow up the Death Star?
Yes. That's why it's BBY, because that
was... I was watching a YouTube video. Apparently, the Death Star wanting to blow up the Rebel base was done completely with editing.
Oh, really?
Like the way they originally shot it, the Rebels just flew to the Death Star and destroyed it. But through editing, they basically created the tension of the Death Star is going to blow them up. Yeah, it's a really interesting
movie. Oh, yeah. I saw that video, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always known it, but, like, because it was in like the special edits that you could, someone came out with that video that's like the Star Wars was saved on the editing floor and actually showed all the scenes and stuff, and that was a really good video.
Yeah, I knew that movie was saved in editing. Like, they basically said every last bit of usable footage is what you see on screen.
Yeah,
and,
you should Google it. Or
but I hadn't heard that. That's pretty wild.
Yeah,
so.
Star Wars saved in the edit. Yeah, like, it's really clunky. Like the, you know the part where C-3PO is in the wires and he's like, help me, I'm melting, right?
Yes, yeah.
That actually originally happens in the first scene. Like, when Leia is like... Yeah, they moved it that far because they're like this funny moment doesn't fit here in the beginning where the tension is. So they actually... So while she was programming R2-D2, C-3PO was in the wires. So yeah, he wasn't on the Millennium Falcon that shot. He was actually on the blockade runner ship. But then also, like, they cut away from the blockade runner and you see like Luke looking at the battle through like binoculars.
Oh, really?
And then they're like, yeah, it's way different. So then you should just
he's talking to Wedge and all them. And it's like, so you're like, oh, what's this whole backstory with Wedge? And so they cut all that out because it's horrendous.
But that's like
the worst stuff ever.
I assume Biggs scenes. Is who it was, probably.
Yeah, Wedge and Biggs.
They removed
Wedge
those
wasn't
scenes,
there, but
and then
Biggs
was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then, by removing that, when the droids go down to the planet, you're like, what is this planet? Who knows? You know?
Yeah.
It's like it becomes an alien planet, mystery. And then you're like, oh, there's people here. And Yeah, it's well, God, there's a wow. Titanic's gonna come up again. they changed the ending of Titanic in editing too. Like the original ending, as shot, was she walks up to the edge of the ship to drop the rock back into the ocean, and then the crew comes up and tries to stop her. And Bill Paxton's like, "Don't do it," and then she's like, "Oh, I don't need this anymore." Like she basically explains everything that's already implied. Like, "I don't need this rock anymore," yeah. And then she drops it in, and then Bill Paxton's like, "Damn, all my dreams were about." It's really terrible. But then yeah. In the movie, they just have her walk out, and then that's they like digitally erase yeah. The people in the background. Yeah, but again, that was terrible.
Wow,
we might. I'm going to bring up another super weapon. Is we might see the Conqueror, which is Star Destroyer that basically they grafted a super laser from a Death Star onto it. So kind of like the Dreadnought, but it actually it's kind of cool looking.
Everything is just like, oh, it's a ship with a big laser, or it's yeah. A big laser, or it's a giant.
But that was
laser.
The whole. That was the whole thing about the Empire. Man, you need to, like, read or listen to the Thrawn book,
it's
man.
It's boring.
But see, that's not really what the Thrawn stuff was. Well, you're talking about Thrawn, but the old Thrawn, like, you know, he was, like, a tactical genius. Like he.
Well, no, that's how the new Thrawn is, too.
I know it is, but it's, like, it wasn't about big fucking lasers and shit like that.
Well,
it was,
no,
like,
it's how Thrawn was saying, because I haven't read the old books, but the new ones is Thrawn is saying, like, these, like, because the Empire wanted to build all these big super weapons, and
yeah.
Thrawn was like, these are all a waste of time and money because they can be, you know, easily destroyed and all your blah, 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 which is what happens. Because Thrawn can see the future.
That's what they should have done. They should have had it where Kylo went good, teamed up with Rey, fucking Thrawn shows up in episode 9.
Oh, yeah. But then the thing is...
But now he's in
Thrawn
the Clone
is,
Wars or something? Or some
but
other
Thrawn
show?
Is... Yeah. No,
he's
not in
the
Clone Wars
show, which is right around the time of, like, Rogue One. Like, a little before
that's,
Rogue
yeah.
One.
So could he yeah. be in this? Would he be 30 years
he
old?
He could still
then?
Be alive, yeah.
Yeah. He's yeah, chiss. I think his
he's a chiss.
The chiss live for a long time. So
yeah, I could see that happening because basically they're going to be like, "What is the number one thing the fans want to see that we could still give them?"
Yep.
And yeah, it could
but
very well
be that.
But this
is
the thing: all they have to do.
Thrawn shows up in 9.
Isn't he? If you're
if Thrawn
listening,
shows up in
John Hamm, blue skin, red eyes, Thrawn. Put him in the fucking.
Yeah,
movie.
That would work. That would work.
That's all you have to do.
So the only problem, though, is if Thrawn shows up in 9, they can't kill him in 9. Because he's too badass
exactly.
to be in one movie.
And he goes off
so
and he's
won't
Ryan
happen.
Johnson's trilogy that he's making or whatever.
Why are they giving him a whole trilogy?
I wonder if something's going to change with that after
Oh,
this.
That's true. We were right about, Colin Trevorrow?
Yeah. Because, yeah, apparently they just went and said, oh, here, we're going to let you go and make your own trilogy, probably with fucking Broom Boy or something. So
Broom Boy! I think Han Solo is why the final season of Game of Thrones got delayed. Like, they had to wait for Emilia Clarke because she was filming a movie twice.
Oh, she's in the Han Solo thing?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, she's in it. She's like, I assume she's like his love interest or something. But think about it. Like you got all these actors... And you make a movie, and then you have to say, oh, wait, we're going to make the movie again. So they probably had to pay off all the productions that got delayed because of the actors not being available for 3 more months.
Yeah.
And
I got it. This is what's going to happen. This is the super weapon. The Eye of Palpatine, but they'll probably call it something else.
Oh, God.
It's a ginormous asteroid that's – it's like – think about the star – The Star
it's
Death
just,
Killer
it's just a
thing.
Death Star made of rocks.
I like the climate weapon better.
Yeah, I like the climate weapon, but I don't know if they'll go there.
It would be cool, like see all these like little like individual ships or components kind of form into a ring, kind of like a halo, and then you could have the planet kind of being destroyed. I mean, you could move across the planet, which means you could have moving action scenes, you know. And then you see all these running from it, and guess who's there? Jar Jar.
Yes. Him and Thrawn are there to like fuck shit up.
Oh, but like, remember, what they could do, they could just... the Jedi books, they didn't get burned. She actually, there's a cutaway shot that are on the Falcon.
Oh yeah.
So one, I guess we're almost at Nazi over
forces
2 hours.
Be burning books, not Yoda. Although Yoda probably knew they weren't in there.
Yeah. Well, that
I
was
would
the
say,
thing. Yeah.
Well, we're over 2 hours, so I was going to bring that up. Is what do y'all think of Yoda showing up in this movie?
It was like, oh, look, we're using a puppet again.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, it's the one from Empire that you loved because he's, like, all mischievous and shit. But I was kind of surprised that a force ghost, like, you know, shot lightning out of the sky. Like, that was a new thing. Because usually they're just kind of there, like, observing. They aren't, like, doing things.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure how to feel about that, but...
I liked it. I think it was a shock when he first showed up, because I didn't expect a force ghost like Yoda to show up. So,
yeah, unfortunately, I had a feeling he was in there because I saw something online where some production company had said, like, oh, hey, we've worked with these characters and blah, blah, blah. And then they mentioned, like, Yoda in there. And they were, like, a newer company that obviously wouldn't have done anything with Yoda, like, in the prequels even. So it was like, oh, he's probably going to be in the movie. So I had that spoiled.
Mm.
That was, like, the only thing I had spoiled about it, though, I guess. But, yeah, it's like you could lift from the EU. You could have, like, Thrawn go and get this Dreadnought fleet. Or the Dreadnought fleet could be replaced with the Ion Ring weapon or whatever that he's going to use to go around and, like, fuck with people. And, you know, you could do all sorts of cool shit, but that would have worked much better if they had Kylo turn good.
Good.
Yeah. They didn't do so.
That's true, because if Kylo is the bad guy, they don't need another bad guy.
Yeah.
But
so...
if he would have turned evil, then it was like, okay, we need a new bad guy. It was like, we need to get our, you know, Hux is an idiot. Our first order, you know, is in disarray. Who can step up? And then he shows up.
Yeah.
But again, you're right. The way they set up the story, that won't really work, though.
Because what I'm saying is that's how it would work, is Thrawn would step up, because he's always been, at least in the first book that's come out since the, you know, wipe, he's always been on the back burner because he's an alien and the Empire doesn't like aliens.
Yeah.
So would they fire Hux and hire him?
Well, he would just assume command, because like if they went with what the EU was, which I don't give a fuck what Disney says, like the Thrawn trilogy is better than anything they've done with Star Wars so far. So it's
exactly.
So like Thrawn is a Grand Admiral. So, like, those are, like, the elite of the elite as far as, like, the Imperial Navy and stuff like that. So, like, he would outrank Hux in, you know, these movies, assuming that all carried through to the First Order and all that. So he would show up, and it'd be like, oh, okay, this dude's in fucking charge.
So Jones said that he thinks Star Wars is, like, dead to you, kind of?
The Star Wars I grew up caring about is gone, as far as I'm concerned.
But
cause,
would that bring you back with bells on for part 9?
Yeah, if Thrawn showed up and they did him justice, yeah, I would be back in. I'd be like, this still isn't the Star Wars I grew up with, but this is on the path to righting the ship if they brought him back.
I bet that's what they'll do. I could really see that happening. I know nothing about this character, but it makes sense.
So I'd be impressed as hell if they did, but I'd be shocked.
How many new Thrawn books are out right now?
Just one.
So
I think there might be another one coming out like middle of next year. I think Zahn's got another book.
And they take place in the past, so...
So they take place before... The first book takes place before the first Death Star is built.
This is like younger Thrawn, so it's like him.
So
he's like kind of
the
academy.
He would still be alive in the new
and stuff.
In the new movie. Yeah. He could. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
He reaches. He's a at the end of the first book. He's an admiral, but he's not a grand admiral yet. I don't think. So it's like it's gonna be interesting. What if they come up with 3 books or 2 books? Is like, what do they do with that character? Because it's that's canon now. How does a character like that not be in, like, 8?
Well, Well, Andy's in the Rebel show too, so
yes.
Which I haven't watched the stuff with him in it yet because I think he's like in season three, but
maybe he's like a recluse, you know, like he's hidden away, and the First Order goes and gets him.
Yeah, like maybe he went off seeking out this super weapon because, like, in the EU books, like there's this legendary fleet called like the Dreadnought Fleet or whatever I think it is or whatever. Which of course they had a Dreadnought in the new movie, but it's like he has to go and find it, and that's like a big part of the thrust of those books is finding that fleet. So maybe you just replace that with this, you know, ion ring climate weapon or something.
Oh, it could be a chase. It could be like the First Order and the Rebels both trying to find it first. It's like an Indiana Jones movie. It's like that's a lost treasure. Both sides want it.
Yep. So
the thing is,
there you go, JJ. You can just have that idea for free.
The thing is, though, is Thrawn is so smart. Thrawn is so smart of a character that if he loses because the good guys just do something stupid and the good guys win because they're just good,
I would hate that. That'd be complete bullshit.
That would be terrible. So that's the problem. If you bring Thrawn in now,
is that happening?
Yeah. They will fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So. Well, listeners, what did you think of Star Wars: The Last Jedi? Did it just...
shit? I can do like another hour, man.
Yeah, it's already like the longest podcast we've ever done.
But it's jam packed with goodness.
So, what did you think of Star Wars: The Last Jedi? Did it ruin your childhood? Are you going to go see the next one? Of course you are. You know you will. Let us know in the comments below. Also, do you think our predictions are true? So our predictions are Han Solo bombs, Kathleen Kennedy is gone, and they'll bring back Thrawn because they know it's the surefire way to get the fans back on board.
Sure.
I still think that's a stretch. But, I mean, I would love to see Thrawn come back. I think it's a stretch that they do it, but it would be cool.
Oh, I can't believe they haven't done it yet, but I assume they're going to push Han Solo movie back to Christmas.
Probably.
At least to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't announced that yet. Maybe they won't. Because that comes out in May.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a few months away, so, yeah.
I'm down for that, though.
I think there's a certain point where if Disney has enough stuff, they'll be competing with themselves. Like, how are they going to interspace all the Avatar movies that they now own with Star Wars?
I got it, Ben. Disney will just move the Earth farther away from the sun and make another month.
Like I talked about on Twitter?
Sure. I totally did not steal that idea from you.
Look at my Twitter. That was my response. That's on my Twitter. Yeah, well, they would be like the Mickey Mouse copyright law. They'd lobby Congress to do it for them.
Yeah, add another month to the year.
Yeah, it'll cool down the planet. It'll give us another month, and
that's what movies. That's what the SpaceX Heavy is for. Colder,
but you know that's okay.
That's the thing is, I think if you push the planet far enough away, they fix global warming
at the same time, Jones.
Yeah, but if you push the planet far enough away to make another month, I think it would be way too far and it would be way too cold.
That's what I'm saying. It'd make it a lot colder. I mean, we're sitting here and it's sub-zero weather right now, so it's like...
You say that. It was like 70 degrees today in Houston.
Yeah, we were... I think it was -5 when I drove to work this morning. So...
I'd still like to see a Star Wars movie with a planet that has like more than one biome in it.
Ion cannon ring.
Like, think about Hoth. Well, like, are they in the cold part of Hoth, or are they in the warm part of Hoth?
Like Naboo in the prequels is probably like the best example of kind of a more Earth-like planet. You know, it's got like rolling hills. It's got the water. You know, with the underground city.
It's got a field of wheat.
Yeah, you know, it's like I don't know. That's like more of a realistic planet where you could buy people living there, I guess.
Like kind of where you'd want to live.
Yeah. Whereas like Kamino, it's like water planet. You know, Geonosis is like
Water planet
Mars.
Makes sense because there are water planets.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But it's also desert planets, Ben.
Oh, wouldn't it be cool if there was like a Jupiter-like planet, like a gas planet, but then like something inside of it, like a planet within a planet? That'd be kind of cool. Mm.
All kinds of ideas for JJ.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for listening to this long podcast. If you made it to the end, I don't know if anyone will. But I guess we'll see you next month. And until then, may the force be with you.
Adios.
And also with you.